Marin. It's 6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Here we go. Here we go.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Good morning, Mark Riley.
Good morning, you left-wing seditionist.
That's some powerful stuff there from the president, I think.
Yeah.
I refuse to call it a Bushism or a malappropriation or whatever they want to call it. Cute little names. You can't disarm the power of that slip, the conviction of that slip. It was really a monumental Freudian slip. It wasn't cute. It wasn't in any way sort of like stumbling. It had a clarity that was mind-blowing. I'm sorry. I'm sure that other shows have played this, but this is our morning.
That's right.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful.
Listen to the clarity.
And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people.
And I think.
And neither do we.
See, there was a thought there. There wasn't any stumbling. He was very clear about this.
Now, he was at a signing ceremony for that big $417 billion defense appropriations bill when he did this. So maybe he was vapor locking on the amount of money he just signed away.
He wasn't vapor locking. He was completely clear. He was being completely truthful.
Well, you mean he just wasn't being like a plain-spoken guy who misspoke like Scott McClellan said?
No, he was just speaking the truth for the first time in his life.
Listen, and resourceful.
He's not distracted.
And so are we.
It's not. There's no distraction. There's no.
They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people.
Look, porn star.
We.
Oh, there.
Well, and that's it. He was right there.
There was nobody walking by.
I don't know what you said in my head, Larson.
Uh-oh.
Oh. All right. I understand. He said he was prepared for the event. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about here. Stay out of my head. I just got here. Jonathan Larson, he's trying to help out. But, like, right in the morning here, we got our clams on. What do you call these? Clams?
Clams.
Shells?
Cans.
Cans?
Cans.
Clams. Mine are called clams.
A can of clams.
I got clams on my head. So there's a couple things I want to clear up from yesterday. Partially hydrogenated.
Hydrogenated.
Partially hydrogenated vegetable oil was the thing I was stumbling through all day. We had trans fatty acids, which I think are the same thing. Triglycerides, not. Don't know if they're in M&M's. Not eating the M&M's today.
Wait a minute. Partially hydrogenated vegetable
bad.
Oil is in everything.
It's bad.
It's in everything.
It's a hyper-pasteurized, nasty extract of vegetable oil used as a preservative, I believe, and it does nothing but right when you eat anything with it in there, it puts another layer of white gook in the arteries going to your heart.
Yeah, but you know what? You go out here to this vending machine over here, every single thing in that vending machine has partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. I'd be willing to bet, including the trail mix.
Mark, doesn't mean it's right. It's only in the trail it's only in the trail mix, in the little chocolate morsels.
It's oh, in the morsels,
chocolate
okay.
morsels.
So it's reduced partially hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Well, no, it's in the morsels. So
oh.
if it's, usually they'll have in parentheses.
Morsel encrusted.
Yeah.
Hydrogenation.
It's in there. It's in there.
It's in there. I know.
But I'm not eating the M&M's today because I made these cookies yesterday because I have inside of me, I have a chef. I have an inner den mother is
yeah.
what it is, and I'm cooking for my scout troop here. Because like, you know,
thanks, Mr. Marion.
You bet. I'm glad you boys enjoyed them.
Yes.
I get crazy. I get home. I don't know what the hell to do with myself. You know, I could be writing, you know, new stand-up comedy bits. I do a little of that. But then I get on this groove where I just want to, you know, make things. And there's nothing more rewarding than making some. Like, years ago, I was a short order cook. This is something.
Really?
Why don't they talk about the issues already? We've been on the air for 4 minutes, and there's no issues. Doesn't he realize we're fighting for our lives here? I didn't turn on this radio to hear about cookies and grease. I don't need this crap. Oh, my God, I'm fighting, but I have to go to the bathroom. But I am. What I was saying was, sometimes creativity, like when I was a chef, I was a grill cook in college, and
okay.
there was, you know, it's very immediately rewarding, especially that kind of cooking, because like right with you flip that egg and the yolk doesn't break, bam, you've succeeded at something in your day. I didn't break the yolk, but the cookies took a little longer. But they were good, though, weren't they?
Yeah, they were wonderful.
There you
Especially
go.
The ones with little pistachio things in them.
Those were these cardamom cookies.
Yeah.
Oh, now people are like, God, he really is a wuss, Marin, isn't he?
Yeah.
Cardamom
well.
Cookies. And the other ones were the standard Toll House with butterscotch, chocolate chips, and partially hydrogenated vegetable oil.
And the butterscotch was for our producer, Jonathan Larson.
Yeah, and I think that's the stuff that's got the partially hydrogenated vegetable oil. Larson is just a repository of partially hydrogenated
vegetable
oil. Oh, now he's good.
Delicious.
He said it's all fully hydrogenated there.
Yeah, right.
Can I just follow up on the Tigger story?
Yes, please.
Because I don't know if you saw that on CNN. If you didn't, you've got to get a tape of it. If the defense donning the Tigger hands in the courtroom. That was about some of the funniest footage I've seen in a long time. Sitting there trying to make the point that these hands could not have felt teenage breasts with any real effect. How could I feel? Look at me. And you just, I didn't even listen to the sound. I just saw this defense attorney with Tigger hands on trying to make a point about how they were ineffective in feeling teenage breasts.
If the paws don't fit, you must acquit.
But the thing, good one. That's what my mother does. I'm sorry I did that to you. That's like such a, because my mom used to, if I ever took a shot at her or made a really kind of salient, you know, kind of, you know, spiky, funny joke, she'd go, that was funny, Mark. That was a good one.
And don't repeat it
Very
ever.
Very funny. And then her boyfriend would go, skitty bop bop, yeah, doing the chirping on the AM. That's it. Groovy, man. Groovy. But what I neglected to talk about yesterday was the most powerful point in this. It's like, you know, a lot of people, some people who are affected, you know, who are connected to things, passionate about causes, are people that have experienced, you know, the injustices of being part of that, or being, you know, one of the reasons they are reactionary, either lawyers or anybody, is because they feel like they have been treated inhumanely.
Right? Oh, yeah, right. No doubt.
Well, apparently the defense attorney for Tigger, Jeffrey Kaufman, also moonlights as Tigger and Goofy at Walt Disney World. Right?
So, he doesn't make enough as a lawyer in Florida.
Right. So when he put on those hands, it was coming from his heart. It's like, look, when I'm not here, I wear these hands. Okay? I know what these hands and this tail feels like. Give me the head. Just give me the head. All right? I am here to show you people that this animal could not have touched those breasts in the way that you're saying.
Mm. And people worry about tort reform? when lawyers are playing animals in theme parks, I don't think we have that much to worry about.
This is a good example, though, of somebody like the type of lawsuit that is being brought up. Why there's an abuse of the legal system is because what they're saying is true, the defense basically said, look, these people just saw an easy opportunity to try and make a bunch of money off of Disney. This is one of those lawsuits where...
This was a criminal charge now. Remember, he faced 15 years in the joint.
But their defense was based on that they were being opportunistic and just saying, like, why not? Look at this picture. Someone said, boing, this is a perfect way to make millions of dollars off of Disney.
Because if they convicted him, then they could have sued and gotten a whole bunch of money.
Well, now, you know, Tigger's going to have to, it's going to be awkward. He can't just hug the kids anymore. Now he's got to, hands off. You know what I mean? Tigger, on all the pictures, there's be no touching.
Just don't touch me. I'm sterile.
Can we hear the ad again?
Yes.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful. And so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. And neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
We'll be back with Terror Watch after this on Air America Radio.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects. If you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems, call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
I was scared to death signing a lease, I'll tell you that. Who's going to help us do this? Realtor. It's like we have to have a trained professional that's going to go out and look for exactly what we want.
Whether you pay utilities or whether you don't.
If I were looking for another property, I wouldn't do it without a commercial realtor. I don't have the expertise.
When you're ready to lease or buy a commercial property, ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I could just turn it over to her and that it would be done and be done correctly.
A message from your local state and national realtor associations.
The Connection from NPR. Where do you go for your daily shot of intellectual caffeine? Think of The Connection as a supersized Bendy with a whole lot of frothy ideas, angles, and attitude. It will get you going, thinking, dreaming, and make it very hard to slow down. I'm Dick Gordon. Join us on The Connection from NPR.
The Connection, weekdays, live at 10 a.m. Eastern on NPR Talk 107.
Are you ready to give marriage another try? I'm Mark Merrill with today's Family Minute. Before you take that big step, take these three smaller ones. First, review your performance in your first marriage. How could you have been a better spouse? What weaknesses do you still need to work on? Second, know what you're looking for in a mate. Be clear about the character qualities you want. Don't settle for someone whose integrity is shaky just because you're lonely. Finally, give yourself time to get to know your potential mate before you say I do again. Remember, your family first.
The Family Minute with Mark Merrill is a production of Family First. To find out about ways you can build a stronger family, go to familyminute.net. That's familyminute.net or call 1-800-956-8300. That's 1-800-956-8300.
We waste a lot of energy and money. Producing that energy consumes valuable resources and creates pollution. You can help by lowering your thermostat in winter and raising it in summer. Have your furnace and air conditioner serviced and cleaned. Turn your water heater down to 120 to 140 degrees. And check your refrigerator for leaky gaskets around the doors. Caulk, weather strip, and insulate walls, attics, basements, windows, doors, and pipes. These energy conservation tips are brought to you by the National Wildlife Federation.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yes, Tigger is free. That is true. This is Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
You're good morning.
To Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. I will be at the Comedy Cellar tonight and tomorrow on a couple of the shows. You can go to ComedyCellar.com to see which shows I'm on if you want to come down. I think you can get tickets or at least make reservations online.
Oh, yeah, you can make reservations.
It's usually a good lineup down there. It's not a huge extended show. We'll do, 10, 15 minutes apiece.
Now, the Comedy Cellar is in Midtown, New York City?
The Comedy
Midtown
Cellar is in the West Village.
Oh, West Village?
Bleecker and McDougal.
Bleecker, okay.
It's underneath the Olive Tree Cafe.
I know where it is.
Between 3rd and Bleecker on McDougal.
I used to play basketball in that court right on the corner.
Oh, yeah. That's power. Some power basketball being played on that court there.
Scary basketball being played on that court.
Seriously.
It's like lives are at stake.
It takes all kinds down there, man. It's so funny where you see the one white dude in there trying to keep up with everybody.
Sometimes it's the white guy that runs the office. Anyway.
Okay, here's my biggest fear.
Yes.
When I fly in, this is a true thing with me. If I have a fear on airplanes, it's not the airplane's going to crash. It's flying into Queens. It's some guy who's going to be on the beach in Coney Island with a rocket launcher. Right? He's just going to be hanging out of a pickup going, this is it!
Yeah.
Now, apparently, up in Albany, they set some dudes up with just that. Someone was trying to buy a shoulder-launched missile. Is that true?
Two Islamic mosque leaders in Albany were arrested for helping in a plot to buy shoulder-fired grenade launcher. Now, what's significant about this, Mark, is that there was a plane crash. I believe a plane that was coming out of Kennedy.
Yeah.
And it was a whole controversy about whether or not the plane had been shot down. They never said it had been shot down, but a lot of people on the ground said they saw flashes. And the immediate speculation was that somebody had fired a grenade or some kind of a rocket at this plane.
Right.
And I believe everybody on board was killed. It was a very big tragedy at the time. They said it was some malfunction.
Wasn't it flying to the Caribbean or somewhere?
I think it was. It was either the Caribbean or was it Dominican Republic maybe?
Yeah.
It was. I forget exactly where, and I don't want to misspeak. But I do know that there was controversy about this particular crash because there was speculation, never proven, that somebody had fired a launcher from the marshes out there
in Queens.
Yeah, in Queens. Now, these two individuals, Yassin Muhyiddin Arif and Mohammed Musharraf Hossein, are charged with money laundering, conspiracy to launder money, and conspiracy to conceal material support for terrorism. Both of them could do 70 years. But here's the interesting thing about this story. You read the AP copy, and the AP copy says as follows. According to an FBI affidavit, these two men laundered money for the purchase of the launcher they were told would be used to assassinate the ambassador at the Pakistani consulate across the street from the United Nations in New York, which is not far from where we are. The murder supposedly was meant to punish the Pakistani government for cooperating with non-Muslims. Here's the interesting part. In fact, there was no such plot. The purchase of the RPG-7 grenade launcher and the assassination scheme were fabrications put forth by a convicted felon who was secretly cooperating with federal prosecutors to reduce his prison sentence on document fraud charges.
So wait, so he was just manufacturing stories in order to save his own ass?
If this was a drug thing, they would say people would be screaming entrapment.
Right.
In other words, we set up the plot, you fall into the plot, and we arrest you for falling into the plot that we created.
So it is a whole setup.
Yeah, it's a setup. The relatives of these two men say that they have they're completely innocent and that they were in fact entrapped. One of them is the owner of the Little Italy Pizzeria in Albany.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very bizarre story, and of course it came during a time when there was a lot of speculation about the terror threat alert, and people initially when they heard about this bus in Albany got into the whole thing about whether or not this was, in fact, something that was set up, again, to...
So these cats weren't... It wasn't their idea to buy shoulder-launch missiles. It was a suggestion.
From this unnamed, non-American, convicted felon, who showed them, apparently, some pictures of some material, and then, talked them into doing it.
Have you seen that? That's the weapons catalog.
Yeah. Well, they had a video. There was a meeting that was on videotape from last November, and apparently this informant showed Hussein a picture of an RPG-7, which is an anti-tank weapon. It was developed by the Soviets in the early 1960s. These folks are into some retro stuff as far as weaponry is concerned.
Well, they said they just wanted it for hunting.
Yeah. Yeah, you can bag a pretty big deer with a rocket launcher.
Yeah, and it's already cooked.
Yeah.
So more stuff, but I forgot our music. Let's do it retroactively.
Yeah.
So now things are heating up again in Iraq. We've got also some shortcomings on the port inspections. But you want to go to Iraq for a minute?
Well, Iraq, again, this on-again, off-again thing with Muqtada al-Sadr.
Yeah.
Is not working for the Iraqi security forces. It's definitely not working for American troops. Every time the Americans go after al-Sadr, Americans end up getting killed. Now, Iraqis get killed, too, but we never hear about them.
Well, this is interesting. And Americans get killed, and also these insurgents are targeting the police headquarters.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting target because it really a lot of times none of them get killed because these guys are, again, as we said, are sort of daunted by the fact that they would have to shoot their own countrymen.
Well, now al-Sadr is saying that there will be a revolution in Iraq unless the Americans agree to yet another new ceasefire. Remember that the American leadership, the Coalition Provisional Authority, which of course is now gone, had capturing or killing al-Sadr as a top priority.
And then they let it pass again because they were trying to navigate the dicey religious waters of how they're going to keep order in this country.
Well, yeah, and the fact is that al-Sadr, whether you like him or not, has a following in Iraq that would not react particularly well if word got out that he was killed by Americans.
Yeah, see, I think what we're seeing here is al-Sadr's publicist actually said, look, we need to get the heat going again. The buzz is dying down. We need some new buzz.
Do you think al-Sadr has like a Scott McClellan type guy?
I'm sure.
A Muqtada al-Sadr spokesman?
Of course they all do. I don't know if it's that organized, but of course he does.
Yeah. Now, this is all taking place, by the way, in the city of Najaf, which is al-Sadr's stronghold.
I guess a mosque took a couple of hits, which is never good in these situations.
Absolutely never, because as you point out, Mark, you pointed this out all week. When you hit a mosque like this, you galvanize moderate Muslims to the cause of the fundamentalists or the insurgents because they say, look, you have no respect for our holy places. You bomb our holy places.
Yeah.
Like if somebody came to Brooklyn and bombed the church.
I guess it slightly damaged the dome of the Ayman Ali Shrine in the old city at Najaf Center.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got inside is the most hallowed saint in the Shia Islam. Is within this mosque.
Yeah. And see, there is a common thread, by the way, I think, aside from the fact that we're dealing with Muslims, between what's going on in Najaf and what went on in Albany.
Right.
See, if you start constructing these kinds of scenarios for people to fall into, which is what happened in Albany, and to an extent, that's what al-Sadr's doing in Najaf. He's creating these scenarios, the Americans and the Iraqi security people just falling into his thing.
Yeah.
And at a point, you know, you can make up just about anything about somebody that you sucker this way.
Sure, okay? Sure.
So now these two guys in Albany, you got a pizza guy and an imam at a mosque, suddenly become like these terrorist people.
Well, that's the interesting thing also is that, you know, it would be easy to find dozens, if not hundreds of people that would be more than happy to own a rocket launcher that have no religious affiliation whatsoever.
Yep.
I mean, you know what I mean? Underground arms and all that stuff. There's plenty of freaks in this country, you know, Second Amendment, you know, aside. Is that the one?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, that would just love to be able to go, dudes.
Let
me show you something. Let's go out in the garage. Wait, you see this? This is Russian. We're going to take this baby out and we're going to have a little fun. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, there have been at least two incidents in the last couple of years where people have had their homes raided and they found these huge arms caches.
Oh, yeah, dude. It's like, what, there's a tank in the garage.
Yeah, right.
Where'd you guys get this? What's a kit tank? We ordered it off a Russian website. Isn't it great?
Yeah, right. Would you like that with or without missiles?
Exactly.
You know, it's a very, I mean, and people think that this whole arms trade thing is really a Second Amendment issue when the fact of the matter is that people, first of all, get filthy rich off selling these different munitions. And internationally, it doesn't matter where they come from. It really matters where it's going to. And you know, the end of the Soviet Union, as much as everybody in America hailed it and gave Ronald Reagan so much credit for it, it also meant that a lot of armaments slipped through the cracks.
Suitcase nukes.
Yeah.
That we keep hearing about. Who knows? And they got to be available somewhere. And there's the black market on this planet.
It's incredible.
I started reading this book by Schlosser.
Yeah.
Billions and billions and billions of unaccounted for dollars.
That's right. And billions of unaccounted for weapons.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And see, what happens is something gets used in a situation, and then they look up and say, wait a minute, how did this guy in Idaho get a Kalashnikov?
Yeah, where'd that anthrax come from?
Yeah. Yeah, and they wonder.
There was a lab out in Long Island, a very famous, you know, biochemical weapons lab that closed in the 70s, and they think that some of this anthrax that was, you know, born in the United States and was probably stuff that went to Daschle's office might have come from that lab. They made a couple of arrests, or not arrests, that they searched a couple houses in New Jersey.
In New Jersey, and they've been calling people or persons of interest. That's a very scary phrase. I'd rather be an interesting person because when I hear person of interest, I think immediately Patriot Act and curtailment of civil liberties,
exactly,
as we now know.
Exactly.
Still to come, the presidential palm pilot, the liberal agenda, and, as if we haven't done it enough yet, the wit and wisdom of one George W. Bush here on Air America Radio.
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again. I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza Man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call American Satellite. 1-800-264-0071. That's 1-800-264-0071. Ask how you can get Total Choice Premier free for 4 months, a $360 value. 1-800-264-0071. Call now.
Add $4.99 a month for second and each additional receiver. Offer ends October 30th, 2004. New customers only. Annual programming commitment required.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's been 3 years, but the feds appear to be a step closer to solving the series of unsolved anthrax attacks in the country. Yesterday, they conducted searches of two homes, one in upstate New York, the other along the Jersey Shore of New Jersey. Both properties belong to the founder of an organization that trains medical professionals to respond to chemical and biological attacks. An alleged key Al-Qaeda operative suspected of being the author of a surveillance document that sparked terror alerts in the United States was among 13 terror suspects suspects arrested in Great Britain. Documents of surveillance of five U.S. financial institutions were found in the computers of two accused members of Osama bin Laden's network, nabbed in Pakistan last month. Fighting is heating up in Iraq as militias loyal to radical Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr clash with Iraqi soldiers and American troops in Najaf. And it's President Bush's turn today to meet with members of the National Association of Black Journalists in Washington, D.C. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Wouldn't it be cool to catch every great concert event in the country? To travel far and wide and experience all the amazing live music out there? Well, this helicopter, it isn't real. And this jet? Oh, it's real, but you can't afford it. And that's why you've got Sirius, to put you front and center for the greatest live music in America. Next weekend, we're live from the Newport Jazz Festival, exclusively on Pure Jazz, Sirius 72.
This is Earth and Sky. According to many lines of scientific evidence, the surface of Earth is warming.
For example, over the last century, most glaciers have gotten smaller. The ranges of thousands of plants and animals have shifted toward the north or south pole. Lakes thaw earlier and springtime flowers bloom sooner. Scientists have reported all of these changes in a variety of studies.
Meanwhile, thousands of thermometers have taken Earth's surface temperature for decades. In finding an average global temperature, scientists account for things like the impacts of buildings and roads and the lack of readings from remote places. Combining all the lines of evidence, most climate scientists agree that Earth's surface warmed half a degree Celsius or about 1 degree Fahrenheit in the 20th century.
Climate scientists also use computer models to predict how climate should be changing as, for example, greenhouse gases from the burning of fossil fuels continue to be pumped into the atmosphere. What the models predict and what all the measurements and studies show are mostly in accord with respect to Earth's surface. But computer models also predict that Earth's lower atmosphere should be warming.
And some critics don't see physical evidence for this atmospheric warming, so they don't trust the models to predict future climate change. In fact, no one knows for sure how much the lower atmosphere is warming. More on that uncertainty tomorrow. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hey, it's 33 past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. And welcome aboard, geniuses. So we got the... you're listening to Air America Radio, by the way. I don't want you to forget that.
No.
And Ramon is now wearing Air America underpants in the Oval Office as he downloads this stuff. Because Bush is on the road. No one's hanging out. Everyone's in. No one's there right now. So here's the presidential palm pie with the schedule for today. The president, 7 a.m., wake up, stay on message.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
That message could be better. 9:20 a.m., speak at the Unity Journalists of Color Convention. Wait a minute, blacks and journalists? God, I'll be glad when this campaign is over. 11:30 a.m., travel to New Hampshire. Ah, white people. 12:35 p.m., speak at picnic, Stratham, New Hampshire. Tell them, ants never stop thinking of new ways to ruin our picnics, and neither do I. 2 p.m., tell voters in New Hampshire, who are you going to believe, a senator from New England or one of your own? 3:40 p.m., arrive at Walker's Point, Maine for nephew's wedding. Wedding toast. Gays never stop thinking of new ways to harm our weddings, and neither do I. 5 p.m., watch daughters dance drunkenly on the table. Stare longingly at the open bar. Damn. 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 11 p.m., bedtime in Kennebunkport, Maine. Think happy thought. I'm an hour away from Canada. I could just slip across the border and no one would ever see me again. So where we at, man? The kittens, I'm going to take care of the kittens.
Yeah, yeah.
I talked about it a few days ago. There's four kittens. There's many different color kittens. There's an orange and white one. There's a black and white one. There's a gray one. And there's one that I didn't really see.
Of indeterminate color?
Yeah, I checked. The woman down the street who works at the real estate office, who was showing a place in my building, the woman who I rented my apartment with from, She said she's got a vet who lives next door, so they're going to look into it. I haven't taken one into my house yet, but it's only a matter of time.
Have you fed them?
No. Some other people are feeding them. I know they're being fed. But my wife, Mishna, who got on the blog, if you want to, morningsedition.com, you can blog away. Are Pashman's picks up?
Uh-oh.
We're checking on that. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman of New Jersey, an associate producer here at the show, editorial producer, has now been going to be posting commentary and some things. If he finds interesting stuff out there in the ether, he's going to put links to them on the site. That's not up yet. But, you know, look ahead. Coming attractions.
Progress.
Pashman's pick. So I'll keep you updated on the kittens because there are people that are interested. I like I said... Oh, Mishna planted this bug in my head that, you know, if you leave him out too long, because she just got a kitten out in L.A. We got a kitten, Moxie, this calico kitten, that apparently was found as a stray. And when they gave it at the flea bath originally, right when they found it, there were so many fleas on it that the water was got a little bloody.
Murky.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I know it's bad. You guys are having coffee and eating breakfast. So I don't want that to happen.
J-Lo's walking out of the room.
Yeah, Mishna. I'm sorry, Chris. Our board up. That was heavy, right? We just ate. I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to ruin anybody's breakfast. But that is just incentive to reach out to kittens everywhere. If you find some kittens, I'm a big cat person. Also, if you could, before we get into the next story, register to vote. I know a lot of you out there are smart. You're intelligent people. You have a point of view. You stay informed, probably more informed than me, many of you, but yet you don't think your vote matters. It does matter. Go to www.declareyourself.com, or you can register by state, find your nearest polling place, get absentee ballot information. Do whatever you have to do to get registered to vote, because I believe there are as many undecideds as there are out there. There's like 10 times as many people that aren't even registered to vote. Even if you don't think that the presidential election affects you in any way, if you don't think that, you're kind of dumb. But but I mean, even if you don't usually vote, just do it. Let's just do it. Let's just get rid of this guy. All right. And now let's. Kerry, came back strong.
Well, Kerry is continuing to come back strong. He's really kind of morphing as a candidate.
Full of the heat.
Three months ago, everybody was on. Wow, man. Can the guy marshal up a little more energy?
Oh,
now
man.
It's like, whoa.
Dude is on fire. He's bringing it, man. He is bringing it.
You know, that whole behind every good man is a good woman thing.
Yeah.
I'm beginning to think that Teresa Hines Kerry is firing him up somehow.
Yeah, well, she's full of fire herself.
Yeah, she is.
And, you know, I do have to say that I saw her on TV yesterday. It's like, as far as hat choices go.
Lose it!
that was some hat she had on. And I love her. I really do. I think she's, full of fire. She's smart. She's got a lot of...
And we're not one to give fashion tips, but what the hell?
No, I don't want to, objectify her in any way. But that hat was a little silly. I couldn't see her face. And, it... made her look a little.
It was like
attached.
Down over her forehead.
Yeah, it was two sizes
too big.
It was large. I don't mind the hats. No, you don't see many hats around.
Yeah. Now we only got 1 minute to burn through a whole bunch of stuff.
We do?
I think.
Oh, we can always get back to it later.
Yeah. Port inspectors.
What happened? Oh, the porn inspectors.
No. Port.
Oh, port inspectors.
Port. We got another story about porn. We'll get to that later.
I thought you said porn inspectors. I'm like, wait, I wasn't informed. Are they here checking the computers?
Right?
It's only a matter of time before they have porn inspection squads.
Well, this story, Mark, real quickly, has some daunting implications as far as, inspecting containers and these sorts of things. Port inspectors were recently transferred from the Agriculture Department to Homeland Security. 500 of the 2,600 inspector positions are now vacant, which means that they are not really inspecting all of the food that's coming into the country.
Well, but why are they vacant? They're vacant because they moved those inspectors out of the Department of Agriculture
yes.
under the Office of Homeland Security, which never filled the posts.
That's right. Never filled those 500 gigs. And he's paying gigs. I assume they'd be pretty good paying.
Well, apparently
gigs.
They don't want to pay for the gigs.
Yeah,
I don't know where that money's going, but it seems like the Office of Homeland Security is just this other sort of bloated bureaucracy that was created by Republicans, mind you. Yet we don't need to have a National Intelligence Director.
Well, the amount of stuff that's been inspected, interceptions of prohibited material, were 32% down in the last 3 months of 2003 from the same period in 2002. That should make everybody very nervous just in case somebody wants to launch some kind of a foodborne disease attack.
foodborne disease. Well, apparently some guy in rebuttal said we're making people just throw away all the food, all the plants, everything.
Yeah, everything.
But we still need a lot more inspectors. It's like they should be able to train people. It was a training issue that they didn't realize, and the Department of Homeland Security didn't realize what it would take to train people to effectively, you know, check bags for bad food.
Yeah.
You know, let alone, you know, suitcase bombs, dirty bombs, rocket launchers, smelly kids. You know, and we'll talk about this more in John Kerry more after this break here on Air America Radio.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Sirius Satellite Radio, now home to NFL Radio. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Stop. Here we are at Studio 6, where if you look closely, you can actually see our NFL radio team. Dan Reed, Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Chris Carter. Yes, I know, pretty impressive. Please don't breathe on the glass. Thank you. Now, when the season kicks off, you can hear every game no matter where you are. Now, keep walking, keep walking.
All the action's now live on Sirius NFL Radio 124.
This is your Icicle Insight on the environment.
Russell Trey, my guest, the book Politics, Pollution, and Pandas. 1970, you were the first chair of the Presidential Council on Environmental Quality. 1973, you headed the EPA. How has our perspective shifted regarding the environment?
Well, I think at the beginning, nobody knew what the environment was. When I told my parents that I was resigning as a tax court judge to become a full-time environmentalist, they thought two things. One, that I was crazy, and secondly, they didn't know what I meant. Now, that has all changed. We had a huge upsurge of public attention to the environment during my main career period, and now we see, I think, you know, that public excitement has died down. Most polls show that the American public really cares about the environment. However, the priority today is not what it was back in the 70s.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hey, Mom, I'm going to a dance with some friends. Don't worry, I won't drink alcohol.
But the next day, I'll sleep a lot and not say much. Although a few days later...
I'll be back to my normal self and you'll forget about it until...
The next weekend, I'm the same way. But this time, I don't get happy again.
You may not know much about the drug ecstasy, but your kids might. Talk to them about how E causes sleeplessness and depression, and may even damage parts of their brain, particularly parts that make them happy. To learn more from the Partnership for a Drug-Free America, visit AskYourKidsAboutE.com.
Community groups do so much, especially helping to keep kids away from drugs. But do you know there's a way to make community groups stronger? It's called the Community Coalition. Community coalitions help local groups get together and get more done. Find out how your group can get involved and help your community.org. Because you get more when you get together. Brought to you by the Office of National Drug Control Policy and the Ad Council.
Shows tropical storms just south of Louisiana coast.
At the Red Cross, just a few hours of your time helps make countless services possible. Whether you'd like to help out on the front lines or behind the scenes, there's something everyone can do to help prepare people in your community. Join the Red Cross and become part of something bigger than us all. To get involved, contact your local American Red Cross or visit www.redcross.org.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Guy's just a mental giant. It's the clarity of his conviction to destroying America is really amazing. I'm Mark Maron. That's Mark Riley.
Hi.
We're hanging out here in the bunker, Air America bunker on Morning Sedition. Now, Kerry's coming back strong. We got him firing all pistons. What's he reacting to in this? In what we're going to hear here?
All right. Well, John Kerry is really polishing and burnishing his campaign as he goes along. The people that said back in, what was that, April, May, that he was a strong closer, they're starting to get proven right. He's starting to speak, I think, with more passion, with more animation. And I think as he gets more comfortable on the campaign trail, he's really sharpening up his game. He's going after Bush in terms of the president's reaction in the immediate aftermath of September 11, 2001. John Kerry says, I can fight a more effective, smarter, and better war on terror. He's upping that ante yet again. He spoke before the Unity Conference of Black Journalists in Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Had I been reading to children and had my top aide whispered in my ear, America is under attack, I would have told those kids very politely and nicely that the President of the United States had something that he needed to attend to. And I would have attended to it.
Yeah, like as opposed to sit there like he just pooped himself?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, what do I do?
How did I, it really, and Mark, you, again, this is something that you've harped on for a while. I don't understand how people can look at two people like John Kerry and George W. Bush and assume that Bush, whose high point of military service was some questionable stuff with the Texas Air National Guard, how you can compare that to John Kerry, a guy who, you know, drove into the face of enemy fire, a guy who pulled a special forces guy out of the water himself. How do you compare those things?
And the other thing I don't understand, I was talking to my buddy Dave last night, is how does Bush deflect, or even how do they not bring up all the stuff that, you know, is, he's been supposedly accused of, you know, drunk driving, the cocaine use and all this stuff. Not that we need to get petty, but what I really don't understand, you know, outside the fact that, you know, Democrats are maybe have their eyes on broader issues and trying to, you know, reunite the party and find out, you know, what their mode is and what, you know, what their platforms are. But, I mean, if any of the things that happened to George Bush or Laura Bush,
mm-hmm.
you know, happened to Democrats, these guys would be all over them like rats, like just vultures, just ripping them apart.
Well, that's the thing about getting petty. You see Republicans get petty, and you say, well, okay, if it works for them, why shouldn't we do it? Why shouldn't Democrats or progressives get as petty? And as far as the Republicans are concerned, the Michael Moore movie and all this other stuff, that is getting petty.
Dude,
as far as they're concerned.
I've got my father's wife's son was a military guy.
Okay.
And my father told me yesterday that he will not go see Fahrenheit 9/11. He will not go see it because he says it's propaganda. Now, that I think that implies a certain, like, you know, he can think what he wants, but to close your mind that much and to dismiss that entirely as propaganda and not acknowledge that anything you get out of the box is propaganda.
All film is propaganda. Are you kidding me?
On some level, but to believe that, you know, there are plenty of people that believe that same way, that's like, why would I even let that enter my head?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, whether it's propaganda or not is not the issue. The issue is that factualities that are in that film may be organized in a way that may not appeal to you, but they are factual.
Is that a word, factuality?
I just made it up.
Okay.
If our president can do it, I can do it. There are some things that Bush has introduced into the culture that I find appealing, and that is the freedom to make up my own words at will.
And neither do we.
That's exactly right. So that's a factuality.
Now, you know who's adding his 2 cents hitting at John Kerry? He's, I guess, now become a full-fledged George W. Bush surrogate just 4 years after he tried to bone the guy right here in New York.
Yeah.
Former mayor and now worldwide security consultant international, Rudy Giuliani.
Yeah, freelance fascist.
Yeah, he's lost one of those four hairs he's using in the comb over.
Yeah, I think he quit.
He might have given it up. I think he might have just burned it at the top of his head.
He's going to own his baldness.
Yeah, he could do a Yul Brynner.
Focus on his hate. Or own his baldness. It's like, I'm a bald control freak. Does anyone have a problem with that?
He's now saying that Kerry is indecisive with an inconsistent position on the war on terror. Now, I don't know, and maybe we can find this out, whether Giuliani spent any time on any Swift boats or any boats other than the Staten Island Ferry.
I don't believe he did.
I don't know.
Why don't you lay that stuff you were talking on our listeners about, you know, where Giuliani copped his riffs?
Well, you know, Giuliani originally, and he's given a lot of credit over, certainly here in New York, for, you know, cutting the crime rate, being the, you know, taking the initiative and cutting down on quality of life offenses and this sort of thing. He actually got this strategy from another person who's passed away now, a guy by the name of Jack Maple. And those of you who live in New York may know who he is. He was a police officer, rose up through the ranks, and eventually developed an entire strategy which he called CompStat,
yeah,
which he tried to sell to various New York City mayors before 1993. None of them adopted it. Rudy Giuliani sat and listened to the guy, adopted CompStat, which is, by the way, enforced today. Mm-hmm. Jack Maple has passed away. I think he had cancer. He died of cancer some years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But it was Jack Maple's idea to make each individual officer within a precinct and each person in the chain of command directly responsible for crime in the community. So in other words, if you had 17 robberies in your precinct and you're a precinct commander, you better have a way to drop that down to 10 or 8 or 5, or you're going to go someplace else.
I get it.
You know
I get
what I'm
it.
Saying?
So
it was
an incentive.
A strict system of accountability.
An incentive program to make people arrest more people.
Well, yeah, and, you know, the whole pounding a beat in Staten Island,
yeah.
That's what happened to you if you were not able to be effective in your job of policing. That was his entire strategy. Giuliani copped it and actually got most of the credit for it when most people don't know who Jack Maple is. Now, when I say get credit for it, it's not just theoretical credit. Rudy Giuliani has consulted police departments all over the world since he's been mayor, since he's left the mayoralty of New York.
Yeah, and he's using somebody else's riffs.
Somebody else's riffs.
The guy appropriated his control freak tactics.
Yes, he did.
We'll be back with some more on that. If you remember that the people went to see Dick Cheney in New Mexico last week, had to sign a loyalty oath. Well, they're going to stick by it. So we'll be talking about that in a minute on Air America.
This year, I'm hearing two kinds of political humor. Type 1 is the standard fare of Leno, Letterman, and that crew. Easy, cheap shots that are rooted in media stereotypes. You know, George Bush is a moron, John Kerry is a flip-flopper, that type of joke. These are to humor what Chicken McNuggets are to cuisine. They make us laugh, McNuggets will fill you up, but they also reinforce all that's stupid, shallow, and incurious about our political culture. Empty humor calories. The other kind of humor makes us laugh while cutting towards some deeper truth. Okay, so George Bush is thick as a brick. How does he get away with all this stuff? While Daily Show host Jon Stewart interviewed news guy Wolf Blitzer recently, Stewart, in his funny, unique way, asked Blitzer how the mainstream news corps had been so unskeptical of the Bush pretext for the war with Iraq. And there, in the midst of a comedy show, Blitzer cops to groupthink on the part of the media. You could surf the news channels for weeks and never find that insight into today's politics, but it was there on a comedy show. This has been a Mother Jones Minute.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Sirius Satellite Radio, now home to NFL Radio. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Stop. Here we are at Studio 6, where if you look closely, you can actually see our NFL Radio team. Dan Reed, Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Chris Carter. Yes, I know, pretty impressive. Please don't breathe on the glass. Thank you. Now, when the season kicks off, you can hear every game no matter where you are. Now, keep walking, keep walking.
All the action's now live on Sirius NFL Radio 124.
And then I was able to orbit the Earth in a great big rocket ship.
This is retired Senator John Glenn volunteering as a mentor, giving kids the benefit of his rich experiences. And this is retired Senator Bob Dole sharing his.
No, I never actually met Brittany.
To find out how you can answer President Bush's call to service, go to usafreedomcorps.gov or call 1-877-USA-CORPS.
When you help your neighbors, you help your nation. Everyone can do something.
This public service message brought to you by USA Freedom Corps and the Ad Council.
When it comes to food safety, experts stress that cold temperatures will keep harmful bacteria from growing or multiplying on food. Remember the two-hour rule. Refrigerate or freeze perishables as soon as possible. And don't let food sit out at room temperature for more than 2 hours. Refrigerating foods quickly is one way you can give bacteria the cold shoulder. Brought to you by the Partnership for Food Safety Education.
Hey everybody, Jamie Lee Curtis here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. What should you do to stop a friend from driving if they've been drinking? Answer, whatever it takes. Think before you drink. Designate before you celebrate. Choose a designated driver. Remember, friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Why don't they talk about the issues? Oh, my God, we're fighting for our lives here. Oh, what day is it? Friday.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's Friday.
So, man, I'm Mark Maron, by the way. Nice to meet you. This is Mark Riley.
Pleasure.
It's nice to see you people, hear you people. Well, what am I talking about? Welcome, geniuses. Here we go. So, they've got this pledge apparently. What happened was some people who were going to protest, or just wanted to go see Cheney speak last week, were forced to sign an oath of allegiance.
Now, do you want to hear the oath of allegiance? Can you repeat after me, please, sir?
Yeah, okay.
I, Herbie.
I name.
No, I, Herbie.
I know.
I name.
Yeah, it's right. It only applies to people named Herbie.
All right. I state your name.
Herbie. Endorse George W. Bush for re-election of the United States.
Wow.
That's the pledge. I, Herbie. You know, it's interesting, is that a spokesman said the GOP plans to correct errors and omissions in the pledge, besides correcting the spelling of
hereby.
It will make clear what office Bush is running for. But also in the story, what I found interesting was quoting a Republican Party spokespersonI don't know what kind of name that is, but it doesn't really matter. Quote, if we feel our event will get disrupted again, we will use the same method, that is the oath, the pledge, to make sure it's a positive event. How do you like that? The Bush campaign is guaranteeing positive events across the country.
Are they going to, sue if somebody takes back their endorsement?
Well, no, they'll say, excuse me, maybe you didn't understand what we're trying to do here. You brought a little negativity into our positive event.
Uh-huh. Will this work at the Republican convention? Are they going to make people sign the same papers there, too?
Dude, the Republican convention is going to look like a rally that will only be matched to, footage you see of Hitler's speeches. And I'm not comparing Bush to Hitler. I'm just saying the type of energy. I think they are gearing up. Just as a reaction, knowing these people.
You mean the evil negative spin?
Well, no, just as a reaction to how great the Democratic National Convention is, they are going to fabricate such mania. They are going to manifest such mania just to make it look like, see, we really know how to have fun. We really know how to be, narrow-minded, focus our hate, pose as people who are moral and have a great time in the as we do it.
And every single demonstration, every protest, every street blockage is going to be laid squarely at the feet of John Kerry. You watch. They're going to tie these anarchists who had a press conference the other day about what they're going to do.
It's not going to matter because they can only protest in Albany. if you want to protest, the free speech zone, I think, is now, in New Hampshire.
Well, it might be in Albany in front of the Little Italy pizzeria.
Yeah. Or maybe they're going to let all the protesters protest out on Staten Island.
There you go.
There's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your pens, liberal marching soldiers. One. Develop gas-electric hybrid sex... Wait a minute. One, develop gas-electric hybrid sex therapy cyborg. There you go. Two, occupy the dean's office of the Electoral College. Three, sue Halliburton for your parents' failure to support your acting career. Four, follow Kerry campaign to swing states. Fall down in front of him. Let him rescue you. Repeat as necessary. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation, quote, Bush and Kerry were both in Iowa on August 4th, which is the same day Germany declared war on Belgium in 1914. Connect the dots, people. Am I the only one who sees it? What's going on here, man? Can you see it? What's going on? I can see what's going on, end quote.
And we know you can, too.
Yes, sir.
The next hour of Morning's Edition, a slander against John Kerry draws fire from John McCain. Mark Maron's Dream Diary, You on the Phones, Iraq, Birth of a Nation, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Right now, you can act on behalf of kids. Call this toll-free number, 1-888-662-3200, for your free action guide. You'll learn how to get connected to people in your community who are already making a difference in kids' lives. Again, that number is 1-888-662-3200. Or visit our website at www.kidscampaign.org/radio. kidscampaign.org/radio. A message from the Coalition for America's Children, the AT&T Foundation, and the Ad Council.
When is the right time to start talking with children about marijuana? Before they see or hear any pro-use messages or images. Before anyone their age has used it. Before anyone encourages them to try it. Before it becomes their first step towards substance abuse, school problems, health and safety risks, and illegal activity. Reality check. It's never too soon to talk to your kids about marijuana. For tips on getting started, call 1-800-729-6686.
forward and hearing a great deal about frequency modulation. The new high fidelity.
New way.
Superior sound resolution with S-Plex technology. Sirius, it's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry has been the recipient of verbal attacks from the Republicans, including the president, for purported issue flip-flopping in recent months. But evidence has emerged that President Bush himself wavered on more than one occasion by threatening to veto the $87 billion supplemental aid bill for reservists and veterans. Money was proposed for the reconstruction and security in Iraq and Afghanistan back in 2003. The Bush administration, according to documents from the Office of Management and Budget, was opposed to the measure and an attached amendment that was aimed at boosting medical benefits for vets. In another development, Democrat John Kerry criticized the record of U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft while on the campaign stump in his former senator's home state of Missouri yesterday. Kerry talked about Ashcroft's conservative values.
We're going to complete the great effort begun by Harry Truman. That was when it began. We're going to stop being the only industrial country in the world that doesn't understand health care is not a privilege for the elected or the connected or the wealthy. It is a right for all Americans.
Democrat John Kerry in Missouri yesterday. Out of Washington, D.C., Senator Richard Shelby accused federal law enforcement officials of abuse after a newspaper reported that federal investigators had concluded he leaked to the media classified messages from the eve of September 11th attacks. The Washington Post, citing anonymous sources familiar with the investigation, reported that the Alabama Republican's role had been confirmed to FBI investigators by Fox News chief political correspondent Carl Cameron. Cameron denied that. The newspaper said the alleged leak was from a June 19th 2002 interview following a classified briefing to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence. At the time, Shelby was the committee's vice chair. Support is slipping for President Bush in the state that was considered least likely to be a problem for a Republican president. Polls recently indicated that Bush is suffering from a poor approval rating in the state of New Hampshire. Granted, states should be Bush country since there are more Republicans than Democrats registered there. There's a GOP-dominated legislature with a Republican governor in both houses of Congress. Also surprising is the state's economic growth after years of massive declines. With all that, George W. Bush is getting a poor job approval rating. Many of the voters say the loss of support may be linked to the huge number of military reservists who have been called up for active duty in the state of New Hampshire, where Bush is headed to today. Democratic presidential nominee John Kerry received some public support from an unlikely source yesterday. Republican Arizona Senator John McCain came to the defense of Kerry, blasting a series of anti-Kerry campaign ads sponsored by the Swift Bowl Veterans for Truth. Suburban Washington-based organization has been running a series of television and radio spots in which Kerry's record in the military is discredited. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Sirius Satellite Radio, now home to NFL Radio. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Stop. Here we are at Studio 6, where if you look closely, you can actually see our NFL Radio team. Dan Reed, Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Chris Carter. Yes, I know, pretty impressive. Please don't breathe on the glass. Thank you. Now, when the season kicks off, you can hear every game no matter where you are. Now, keep walking, keep walking.
All the action's now live on Sirius NFL Radio 124.
This is Earth and Sky. Scientists are now investigating how ocean temperatures in the North Atlantic might be linked to future droughts.
In recent decades, climate researchers have considered the Pacific Ocean, with its El Nino events, to be the main driver of climate in the western U.S. That would seem to make sense since most storm systems come from west to east.
But what's happening in the Atlantic Ocean might be just as important. According to Greg McCabe, a physical scientist with the U.S. Geological Survey in Denver, Colorado, he and his colleagues analyzed over 100 years of data, the temperature and precipitation records from hundreds of weather stations across the U.S. McCabe found that drought patterns in the western U.S. are closely in sync with sea surface temperatures of the North Atlantic.
The statistics tell us that when the North Atlantic is warm, there's a good chance of drought over a large area in the United States. And what we've seen, at least over the past few years, the drought that we've been experiencing looks very similar to the drought that occurred during the 1950s. And the sea surface temperatures in the Pacific and in the Atlantic are very similar to the sea surface temperatures during the 1950s.
That's important because the 1950s drought in the southwestern U.S. was one of the worst of the 20th century. More about drought and our oceans tomorrow. Thanks today to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Who is gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
Well, it's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
All day long. It's going to happen all day long. I'm sorry. I can't not do that. I'm Mark Maron. That's my buddy Mark Riley right there.
Good morning. Sounds like he's on the deck of the Starship Enterprise heading toward the planet Zontar.
Yeah, dude, the conviction of his voice. The conviction, like it was not a slip. It was not cute. It was not a malaprop. Is that what you call it?
Malaprop, yes.
It was not a malapropism. It was not a Bushism. There was nothing unclear about it. This was decisive. It was thought out. It was exactly the truth.
Unplugged? Unfiltered?
Yeah. It was completely. And the great thing is that you got all those guys standing around them, Pentagon people, you know, all the suits were there, did not say anything, did not react. That you would think that someone would just, you know, just save a little face for the guy to just go, I'm not sure you want to say it that way. Did you?
Let me explain something to you. The guys that stand around Bush at these kinds of ceremonies, this is for a defense appropriations bill, right?
Yeah.
A wasp could sting them in the face and they wouldn't move.
It's just unbelievable. They all sat there and kept their sort of like, the president is doing it again face. Unbelievable.
Hey.
What are you doing this weekend, man?
This week, actually, I'm kind of staying in the house. I'm chilling out. I've been, you know, out the last couple of weekends. I went to Pennsylvania. I went out to Long Island. So this weekend, I'm kind of chilling out and making plans for weekends to come.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go back to Pennsylvania again.
To the drum thing?
Yeah. Absolutely. Come to Bugle Corps, man.
I'm starting to be a little suspicious of the Bugle Corps thing.
Well, you have to come to a contest one day, man.
Okay.
Contest. You see for yourself.
You just hang out in the bleachers and...
I hang out with guys I've known for 35 years.
Oh, so that's the appeal, right?
That's
there.
It, yeah, man. You hang out and you just like have loads and loads of laughs because these are very funny, very... You think you're sick?
Yeah.
These people... Many of them are truly sick.
You tell me the Bugle Corps guys are just whack jobs?
They're just, many of them are crazed people. They're wonderful people, but they're crazed people.
All right. I'm going to be performing at the Comedy Cellar this weekend. You can go to ComedyCellar.com and see if you can get a reservation. I think Colin Quinn's going to be on. Yeah, some people out there consider him my nemesis. I think I'm going to be on Tough Crowd next week. I'm also doing a show sponsored by Heave Magazine next week at Joe's Pub. I'll plug that a little more next week because I actually don't have details on it in my head right now.
Maren's a busy guy.
Yeah, I'm doing a couple of gigs.
You sure you're going to be working here another month or two? You may be making too much swag off of, you know, these other appearances.
I wish I was making swag. I'm performing at my friend Sam's Pop's wedding on Sunday, which is a private affair, so I
can't invite anybody. No.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, listen.
Yeah.
These Swiftboat people.
Let's talk about this.
Let's talk about the Swiftboat people.
McCain. You know, in another, you know, heroic action, it came out against these new ads.
Yeah.
That is this sort of like evil Swiftboat collective.
Yeah, the Swiftboat Veterans for truth. And they really ought to be sued for lying about that.
None of them were on the boat with Kerry. The one guy who is not mentioned in the article, this guy John O'Neill, who is also a veteran, who has been, you know, he was a Nixon stooge in the 70s.
Yeah.
And, you know, has been gunning for Kerry for, what, 30-some-odd years? It's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently, a key figure in the anti-Kerry campaign, Kerry's former commanding officer, backed off one of the key contentions. Lieutenant Commander George Elliott said in an interview that he had made a terrible mistake in signing an affidavit that suggests Kerry did not deserve the Silver Star, one of the main allegations in, I guess that's O'Neill's book or the Band of Brothers book.
No, this is the new O'Neill book, which is it out yet?
No, it's coming out.
It's getting ready to come out. And what it's saying essentially is that John Kerry's war record is a tissue of lies. Now, never mind that the guy they're carrying water for has no record.
But it's unbelievable to me that they found these guys, this group of Vietnam vets, who would slander, you know, this guy's war record. I mean, the guy won the medals. He did the bits. You know what I mean? He did what he had to do to be awarded the medals. He is a bona fide war hero. But these guys are bitter. And a lot of them are bitter because of Kerry's involvement in Veterans Against the War.
Vietnam Veterans Against the War. They have never forgiven him. Some of these guys have had a 35-year nut for John Kerry. And, you know, it is manifested in this particular ad, which is just so full of garbage. I mean, even the doctor that's quote, I treated John Kerry.
It says nothing.
Yeah, your name isn't on the form.
But it literally says nothing.
I know it says nothing. Do we have to share this with the audience? Do we really have to play this for the audience?
Yeah, let's hear it, because I don't think people maybe realize just how slanderous, petty, and just dirty politics this really is.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
I served with John Kerry. I served with John Kerry.
John Kerry has not been honest about what happened in Vietnam.
He is lying about his record.
I know John Kerry is lying about his first Purple Heart because I've treated him for that injury.
John Kerry lied to his Bronze Star. I know. I was there. I saw what happened.
His account of what happened and what actually happened are the difference between night and day.
John Kerry has not been honest.
And he lacks the capacity to lead.
When the chips were down, you could not count on John Kerry.
John Kerry is no war hero.
He betrayed all his shipmates. He lied before the Senate.
John Kerry betrayed the men and women he served with in Vietnam.
He dishonored his country. He most certainly did.
I served with John Kerry. John Kerry cannot be trusted.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
The worst. The worst. There was nothing said there. And that doctor, what is he like? If he had an injury, then he deserved the Purple Heart. Period.
Quack.
But here's the most interesting one. The one they're going to release tomorrow, I think, is a little more specific and probably a little more, you know, really, it gets to the heart of what's really being said here.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Oh, oh, my God.
Here we go. We're getting into the R word again, aren't we?
Listen to that. When
Marin.
When the chips were down, you could not count on John Kerry, one of the veterans, Larry Thurlow says in the ad. But on the other hand, in the Vietnam era, when you were out of chips, you could count on Bush to go get you some more no matter how drunk he was. And I'd want to say that right now.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
Well, look, I mean, you know, one of the guys who was part of this group that was going around disparaging John Kerry, and again, this dates back to the Nixon administration, ladies and gentlemen, but one of them has already recanted. Lieutenant Commander George Elliott says he made a terrible mistake in signing that affidavit suggesting Kerry didn't deserve the Silver Star. That affidavit was given to the Boston Globe by the anti-Kerry group to justify their assertions in both the ad and in the book.
How much they pay these guys? How bitter do you got to be? I mean, I can't believe these guys did it on their own volition. And also, I can't, like, if you listen to it, I served with John Kerry. So did a million other people.
Yeah.
It means nothing. You know, the intimacy that ad captures in its very manipulative way is completely false. You know, anyone who was in Vietnam at the same time Kerry was served with John Kerry.
Is it me, or did they all sound like Southern guys?
Well, a couple of them did.
It's not, now, I'm not trying to stereotype by region or whatever. But I just find it, and by the way, so does John McCain. John McCain says that this ad is not really worth the time they spent to make it.
Well, yeah, and that same guy, Larry Thurlow, he didn't serve on Kerry Swiftwell, and he says that he witnessed the events that led to Kerry winning a Bronze Star and the last of his Purple Hearts, because he saw the whole thing when he was going upriver on a mission to kill Colonel Kurtz. You know?
Oh.
Now he's been ordered by Karl Rove and the RNC to fabricate with extreme prejudice.
Mm.
Fabricate.
Well, John McCain has said, first of all, that the ad should be repudiated.
Good
the White
him.
House
Good for him.
Refuses to repudiate the ad. And McCain says that this ad reminds him of the kind of slander that was used against him during the 2000 Republican primary campaign.
Petty.
And in fact, and this is the ultimate irony, this ad from the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth comes from the same agency that worked for John McCain 4 years ago.
But the shamelessness of the Bush administration not to even take any distance from this, given his record, given that he was AWOL, given that, you know, he used family connections to avoid military service that would put him in any danger other than his own screw-up, all right, is just the hubris, the arrogance, and the complete lack of respect for the military is mind-blowing.
I got an idea.
Mind-blowing.
Why don't we see if we can get a bunch of Texas Air National Guard people to talk about the fact that Bush couldn't fly a plane if his life depended on it? How about that?
He can certainly put on the little suit, though.
Yeah, he can put on the suit and pretend like he's flying a plane onto the deck of an aircraft carrier like he actually did that once. I mean, this is a guy who took time off from his busy schedule under the best of circumstances, took time off from his busy schedule serving our country to go work on a Senate campaign. He doesn't even deny that.
Yep, yep.
And you want to mess with John Kerry? What are you, nuts?
Exactly. And we're going to have a guy, a media consultant, Eric Denzenhall, will be here. And he's the author of the political novel Shakedown Beach, but he's also a media consultant. We're going to go over some of these ads with him when we come back.
A limited survey of 1,600 employers across the nation conducted by a human resources consulting firm suggests paychecks won't be getting much larger in the near future. Mercer Human Resources survey predicts an average pay increase of 3.3% for the U.S. workforce this year and a 3.5% average next year. This outpaces the rate of inflation, but not by much. Healthcare costs may be eating into wage hike budgets, especially when employer premiums are forecast to rise by double-digit percentages next year. This has been a Wind Dow Bob. I'm Jesse Russell.
This Dow Bob report brought to you by the Communications Workers of America, the Union for the Information Age.
Stop whining. That's what head of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, Tom Donahue, told workers who just lost their high-tech jobs to overseas outsourcing. Analysts say millions of more jobs could be lost in the next few years. That's why we, the Communications Workers of America, are doing something about it. We're fighting to end tax breaks to ship our jobs overseas. We're helping tech workers organize. Learn more at techsunite.org, because America's future is on the line. A message from the Communications Workers of America.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Sirius Satellite Radio, now home to NFL Radio.
Oh. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking.
Stop. Here we are at Studio 6, where if you look closely, you can actually see our NFL Radio team. Dan Reed, Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Chris Carter. Yes, I know, pretty impressive. Please don't breathe on the glass. Thank you. Now, when the season kicks off, you can hear every game no matter where you are. Now, keep walking, keep walking.
All the action's now live on Sirius NFL Radio 124.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Ambassador Joseph Wilson, you got a front row seat into what it's like to be a subject of media coverage. How did you rate the media coverage of your op-ed piece and the aftermath? What did they get right? What did they get wrong?
Well, you know, I've been watching the media coverage really in the run-up to the debate on going to war. My own sense in the run-up to the war was that all of us let the side down. I think that we had an obligation, our Congress, our investigative journalists, those of us who attempted to speak out, really had an obligation to discuss fully this decision on whether or not we were going to send 130,000 people to invade, conquer, and now occupy Iraq before we got these guys there. And I regret very much that there were so few of us who were willing to stand up and be counted in that particular debate.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
I wasn't going to school because I was just making money stealing cars.
Well, I was 10 when I first got involved with drugs. I skipped school because, you know, nobody cared. When I first got pregnant, school was not important to me, so I dropped out.
I just thought the only way I can make something out of my life is that if I get an education.
I still need to go to school to make it for myself. Stay in school. Give yourself a chance.
I think I'm happier now. I know I'm happier now.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Yes, here we are, Morning Sedition, Mark Maron with Mark Riley.
Hi!
It's Sarah America Radio. Man, my therapist has gone for weeks. It's going to be nuts. These dreams are going to build up. Here's last night. Me and my dead cat butcher are about to rob a bank. All right, we pull on our rubber Nixon masks and check our automatic weapons. Ready? Now! We bust in the door and Yeah, squeeze off a few rounds into the ceiling, and I say, everybody on the floor, nobody gets hurt. Bush yells, extreme justice is often unjust. I turned to her, I said, what do we talk about? No quoting French poets during the robbery. Now blow the safe and let's get out of here. Bush says, as you like, but as for me, I should like to be remembered as a criminal with panache. Viva la revolution. Boom! Why don't I just use my sound effects? The safe is blown, and me and Butch are stuffing stacks of 20s into gym bags. Next stop, Easy Street. But right outside the bank, George Bush is giving a campaign speech.
I want to be the peace president.
Next.
I want to be the peace president.
I'm a war president.
Okay. One of the people lying on the floor says, what a douchebag. I say, no talking. He says, okay, but since we're in a swing state, that dumbass is here every week. Blah, 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 blah. Another woman on the floor says, yeah, it's nothing but lies. Someone should shut his pie hole. Then an old guy in overall says, hey, bank robber man, you seem like a brave fella. You should go over there and open up a can of whoop-ass. A few others whip their heads a few inches and say, yeah, get him. Do it. I scream, hey, I'm robbing this bank and then I'm leaving. Got it? Now shut it. They're quiet for a couple seconds. And then the big guy in the forest says, oh, sure, big, tough criminal mastermind. You afraid to go up across the street and kick the president's ass, bank robber? You afraid? Then they all join in. Chicken. Chicken. Bank robber man's a chicken. Book says, Mark, don't let them bait you. Remember, we are the ruthless criminals. Chicken. Bank robber man's a chicken. I yell, shut up. Shut up. Bank robber man is not a chicken, and I'll do it. And they all cheer. Woohoo! Bank robber man's going to kick W's ass. Yeah! There he is. Across the street, W, shooting off his mouth.
The American people are safer. We are a nation in danger. The American people are safer. We are a nation in danger. The American people are safer. We are a nation in danger.
I storm out of the bank with a bag of cash in one hand and a .38 in the other. I yell, so which is it, dumbass? Are we safer or are we in danger? You can't have it both ways. I'm robbing a banker because I can't afford health care. Why don't you talk about the issues? We're fighting for our lives here. Of course, by this time, the Secret Service has wrestled me to the ground and are about to break every bone in my body. But I gotta say, I still felt pretty good. They got Butch, too, and little tiny cat handcuffs. Butch says, resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. Then he spits at the agent. That's Thomas Jefferson, pig. I woke up and my bed was filled with legal tender.
Ooh.
Wow. That one took a lot out of me.
Intense.
Right now, on the phone, media consultant and author of Shakedown Beach, political novel, we have Eric Desenhall, and he's the president of Desenhall Resources. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. I got to tell you, I'm really traumatized by that dream.
You and me
You're
both,
not the
buddy.
Only one.
I had a recurring dream as a kid that Mickey Dolenz of the Monkees was chasing me. And I don't know what it means, so when your shrink gets back from vacation,
I'll definitely ask him. I'll definitely ask him. Here, let me play something for you. Here's a new dream. Have you heard the new Bush ad?
I have heard some. I don't know.
Here, maybe I don't know if you heard this one.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Pretty honest, isn't it? It's an honest ad, isn't it, Eric?
I think that what it comes down to is every candidate is a specialist, and you are hammering the thing that the public will correlate with your specialty.
Yes.
And I think that if a lot of what Bush is running on is the notion you are going to be safer with him. It's a simple message.
Uh-huh.
Whether you like it or believe it or not,
uh-huh.
it's not necessarily what is empirically true. It is what is sellable.
Now, what is your opinion of the new of the Swift boat campaign? Did you hear that one?
Well, you know, I did. And
slanderous,
I'm
lies.
By that.
Yeah.
Basically because as much as I think that Kerry's weakness is not a military record issue, I think that Kerry's weakness is that a lot of people feel that he is emblematic of a cultural ultra elite. I don't know that even people who have a Republican bias really believe the guy is unpatriotic or a fraud.
So then you believe that this ad won't be effective. I mean, are slanderous ads in general effective?
Very.
Uh-huh.
People love them. In fact, you know, a lot of what my novel deals with is the whole idea that it's not about how do we get people to like you, but how do we get people to hate the other guy. And I think that the American public loves to say that we're not impacted by negative ads. We are enormously impacted by negative ads. But by the same token, not every message works.
But does that mobilize people, though? Does it mobilize people to vote for the guy who slanders?
I don't think that I think that if you look, you don't have a lot of undecideds out there.
Okay.
You know, the whole idea that you have this huge public that is sitting home saying, I'm going to watch the Democratic convention and the Republican convention, I'm going to take notes and then make my choice in a rational manner. It's not how it works. If you do have people who are on the fence, I do believe that negative ads can move you not on a factual level, but on an emotional level. That doesn't mean that virtually every allegation will work. I think that the whole idea that the cultural left loves, which is that, you know, President Bush is stupid, is not something that resonates in the heartland. And if you flip that, I don't believe even people who have a Republican bias, who I know, believe that John Kerry is whole-scale Jason Blair fabricating his war record.
Interesting. Eric Desenhall is our guest. He's a media consultant, author of Shakedown Beach, a political novel. Eric, you seem to be talking about a difference between what the public says it wants in political advertising, because, you know, at least the media tells us that the public doesn't want negativity, yet
wrong.
They're wrong about that.
You're being negative.
Well, look, the very same American public that claimed they were sick and tired of hearing about Monica Lewinsky and the blue dress, you could actually watch ratings go up on a second-by-second basis every time you brought up the blue dress. We just don't like to think of ourselves as people who are like this. And, you know, one of the issues that has come up is all of this negative campaigning somehow new? The American public has a several hundred-year history of embracing campaigns where the other guy is called a baboon. Abraham Lincoln in a campaign was called an illiterate baboon. We love stuff like that. The only thing that makes us different today is that we think of ourselves as being more moral.
Uh-huh.
So what's the difference between a negative ad that works and a negative one that doesn't? Is it just creative writing?
It has to do with what resonates emotionally, not what is factually true. For example, a lot of people love this idea that George Bush is a Machiavellian liar and an idiot. Now, people who have a left-leaning bias embrace that.
I love that. All right, I got to go. Eric, thanks for joining us. Good luck with the book. We'll plug it on the other side of this break.
Thanks so much.
All right, appreciate it. We've got more when Air America Radio continues. Stay with us.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush treks New Hampshire today after meeting with minority journalists in Washington, D.C. Bush's arrival in New England comes amid a new poll indicating that he's losing support in the Granite State, even though there are more registered Republicans there and employment is up in the state. Alabama Republican Senator Richard Shelby has accused federal law enforcement officials of abuse this after a newspaper reported that federal investigators had concluded he leaked to the media classified messages from the of the 9/11 attacks. Shelby's role was purportedly confirmed to the FBI by a political correspondent for Fox News. Key members of the multinational force in Iraq have given their support to an American demand not to accede to the demands of Iraqi kidnappers, and U.S. helicopter gunships fired on militiamen loyal to Shiite Muslim cleric Muqtada al-Sadr in the holy city of Najaf today. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Sirius Satellite Radio, now home to NFL Radio. Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Stop. Here we are at Studio 6, where if you look closely, you can actually see our NFL Radio team. Dan Reed, Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Chris Carter. Yes, I know, pretty impressive. Please don't breathe on the glass. Thank you. Now, when the season kicks off, you can hear every game no matter where you are. Now, keep walking, keep walking.
All the action's now live on Sirius NFL Radio 124.
This is Earth and Sky. The coming months are expected to bring severe drought and wildfires to the western U.S., and scientists are grappling with ways to respond to it.
Traditional methods of using airplanes to track fires can be unsafe. That's according to Wei Min Hao, project leader of the Fire Chemistry Unit at the Forest Service Rocky Mountain Research Station. He's helped develop a way to track fires using satellite data, plotting hotspots under what he calls a fire map, updated four times each day.
And so this almost a real-time fire monitoring has become especially important in the western U.S. because of a severe drought in the last 7-8 years. Also, the fires tend to be very big compared to many small fires historically. So in order to know where the fires are and how the fire propagates, it is essential that we have a really updated knowledge.
Howe told us it's important for the public to use the fire maps to see possible wildfires near where you live. For a link to the latest fire map of the western U.S., come to today's show at earthsky.org. Thanks today to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, promoting the conservation of native fish, wildlife, plants, and their habitats. We're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
That was Eric Deisenhall before, and his book is called, I have it here somewhere.
Shakedown Beach.
Shakedown Beach, a political novel. He said that Swift boat ad is not going to have any legs.
Not going to have traction.
Hey, why don't you give us a call, 866-303-2270, 866-303-2270, while we hear the next installment of the Swift boat ad campaign. Can we hear that, Chris?
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made of, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Okay, we got a call from Joe listening in New York on LIV. How are you, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
How's it going?
All right.
I was listening to an interview with the with one of these veterans that claimed to carry didn't have the same war record as he claims. It's going at Bronze Star. I have to say, he was actually pretty convincing. I listened to his story, and the one thing that I know from serving in the military, sometimes, you know, things sort of get legs, and I have to say that Kerry faked his war record, but I think that, you know, I don't know, it just sounds suspicious that all, you know, these other captains on these boats didn't, none of them were wounded, none of them encountered, you know, the action that John Kerry said he saw.
But, John, let me ask you a fundamental question about this. Why do you think there's such a big difference between what these guys are saying and what the guys that were on the boat with Kerry say?
Because I look at it this way. I think that, you know, in that situation, they were talking about specifically where the mine went off. They didn't really know what happened. For all they know, they thought that mortars were falling around. They had no idea.
Well, they didn't know. How did the guys that were not on the boat know, and the guys that were on the boat, the guys that did get shelled, they didn't know?
Why would you trust their credibility?
They were physically separated by less than 100 feet. So that's the thing. I mean, I don't know. Have you ever been in a car accident? You don't remember every single thing that happened to you because of the craziness of it?
Oh, no. I was in a car accident once 20 years ago, and I remember everything that happened.
But one of the guys, this Commander George Elliott, said in an interview that he made a terrible mistake in signing an affidavit that suggests Kerry did not deserve the Civil Star. I mean, just like in terms of, like, it's almost like, you know, you can coach somebody to have certain memories. And believe me, if you're, you know, a bitter person who has political objectives in mind, and you're coerced by, you know, a Republican, you know, sort of, if you're, you know, coerced by the campaign, it's like coaching a kid on sexual abuse. You know what I mean? Do you remember? Didn't something bad happen? Don't you remember something bad happened?
Yeah. I mean, that is, in fact, how folks operate.
Of course. Of course. You want to take some calls?
Yeah, let's take some more. We got a bunch of them.
Tom in Connecticut, what's going on?
Hey. How are you?
Good.
Good.
How's it going?
Hey, I'm going to direct this question to Mark Riley here because I figure you'd probably be really up on this. But aren't some of these swift boat, quote-unquote, captains or whatever, weren't they some of the same guys that were ragging on McCain during the 2000s?
Well, O'Neill, I think, was. Yeah.
O'Neill was, yeah. And the interesting thing was that I don't know how this happened, but the same ad agency that worked for McCain in 2000 produced these ads in 2004. It's a very strange scenario.
Well, they must have connections with maybe they're actually a platoon of Vietnam vets who just, you know, really want to work for the Republican National
for the Republican.
Committee.
Well, remember, the attacks on John Kerry began during the term of Richard Nixon. How many presidents ago was that?
Wow.
At least three or four.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a long time these folks have been chasing after Kerry, at least a couple of them. And now they're trying to drop this. And see, my thing is, this is so transparent in effort to counter Fahrenheit 9/11, to counter some of the positive publicity that came out of the Democratic Convention. Could it be any more obvious?
But you know what's baffling is that it's just amazing that Kerry has been on their radar for that long, since Nixon. Mm-hmm. I mean, Kerry was the guy that initiated the momentum to, you know, legally start, you know, taking down the Iran-Contra people. All right, mm-hmm. He started some of the initial research and evidence to start those hearings. I mean, this guy's been on the radar this long, and this is all they got, is sort of vague slander about a hazy time in their memory as to whether or not, you know, I mean, this is what, how many years ago is this? 40 years ago already?
Well, I don't understand.
35
years ago, I don't understand how somebody could say, as one of our previous callers did, that the people that were on the boat didn't know what was happening, but the people that were 100 yards off the boat saw everything.
But ultimately, it's really the issue is like, who can govern this country better? You've got a guy in George Bush that, you know, really his record is disastrous on almost all levels, mm-hmm. All right? He's got no real military record other than a questionable, you know, AWOL stateside.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, he's of questionable character on many levels, yet all they can do is attack this guy who has had a full career in the Senate of making, you know, deliberating over legislation. He's been a trial lawyer fighting for people. He's been in a war. You know, a career in politics, and it amazes me that these guys, in the name of George W. Bush, you know, a privileged kid who got away with a lot of things, are gonna put their reputations at stake for this guy.
And you wouldn't think that someone with Bush's war record would go there. You just wouldn't.
Yeah. We got Ruth in Orlando. Ruth?
Hi, Ruth.
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Okay, this is what I want to say. I'll try to get as much in as I can. Salon.com, Joe Connison wrote a series of articles back in April and May when this first came up, talking about the history of these guys. John O'Neill actually goes back to the Nixon White House,
mm-hmm.
where he was working. He was brought in by Chuck Colson specifically to discredit John Kerry,
yeah.
who at that time was anti-war activist.
Yeah, yeah.
If you flash forward some years, he's a rich lawyer in Texas, and his client base includes all kinds of Bush cronies like Reliant Energy. And if you remember Reliant Energy, mm-hmm. they were part of the disastrous power outage in the Northeast.
Right.
They have huge Bush ties.
Right.
And that's just one of the guys.
Yeah, we
that's
talked to Coniston about this when it came out, I remember.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so if you want to refer to that, I don't think it's on Pashman's Picks today, but apparently Pashman's Picks are up. Dan Pashman, son of Lewis and Linda Pashman in New Jersey, is now doing some links in a series of, because he does all our research. I think we're going to talk to a Vietnam vet on the other side of this break, so stay with us, 866-303-2270 if you want to pitch in. We'll talk to you in a minute.
Well, hi there. Welcome to Sirius Satellite Radio, now home to NFL Radio.
Oh.
Keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. Stop. Here we are at Studio 6, where if you look closely, you can actually see our NFL Radio team. Dan Reed, Shannon Sharp, John Riggins, and Chris Carter. Yes, I know, pretty impressive. Please don't breathe on the glass. Thank you. Now, when the season kicks off, you can hear every game no matter where you are. Now, keep walking, keep walking.
All the action's now live on Sirius NFL Radio 124.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. You have to choose between often the reality of the rent that's due on the first of the month,
yes.
and your desire to just, you know, ignore that and go for the brass ring.
There is a reality that happens, and if you are, you know, if you have to make the rent due at the end of the month, it is pretty darn difficult to change your careers dramatically. And those that have done it tend to have saved up some money and given themselves a little breathing space. There was some research done in New York that said that the average length of time out of work had gone from 13 weeks to 18 weeks over the last 4 years. So if you want to make a significant change, you certainly have to count on, you know, 4 or 5 months. To change jobs.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Stuart, how are those hedges coming, little man?
Dad!
Sorry, you're not little. You're 5. And you're holding a 10-horsepower gas hedge trimmer. I should watch myself, huh? So, fire her up and show those hedges who they're messing with.
But I could get hurt.
Don't focus on the negative. Come on, go get him, killer! That's the battle cry of a lawn warrior. Now, steady the blade. Where are those edges?
Dad, please!
Think of the trimmer as an extension of your arm. Come on, keep that arm away from...
The cat!
The cat! Oh, and the neighbor's new car!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult, so why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
Here. You can do the neighbor's shrubs after you finish ours.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
You give me power. Get out of bed. When in the morning, I'm feeling dead.
Hi, this is Paul McCartney on behalf of RAD. If you're drinking, you can't drive my car or any car. And remember, don't drink and drive. It's just not worth it.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Why aren't they talking about the issues? Why? 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 We're fighting for our lives here.
866-303-2270 is our phone number if you'd like to call us right now. Since the handover, how come every day, what is wrong with me? Since the handover of power, the handover of power, we're exploring various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. This is Iraq, Birth of a Nation, Day 39. Leaders of Iraq. Whoa, good morning. We hear you've got a garbage problem. It's piling up and it's getting kind of funky in here. Yeah, I know, yeah. Yeah, I smell it too. And yeah, we created some of it. And what do you want me to do about it? It's not my country. Now, this seems kind of obvious, but you've got to handle this garbage situation. Yes, you. We didn't hand over much, but we definitely handed over the picking up of the garbage thing. Dig? Nothing more depressing than great big piles of garbage. Yes, I know you're right. The dead bodies are more depressing, but you're missing my point. Here's the thing. You got to nail down your basic services. Garbage, sewage, electricity, water. You supply those to your people, and you can get away with murder. Not now. Not now. How about a little... Yeah. Now, not... Okay, first, clean up your garbage, for God's sakes. When someone flushes the toilet, they want to have confidence that they will never have to see or smell that again. I don't have to explain this, do I? Rule of thumb, if it smells bad, haul it out of there. Except us, of course. We're staying. Until then, good luck, and God bless. This is day 39 of Iraq, birth of a nation. Live free or die. So we got... Who do we got on the phone now?
Fred!
All right, Fred in Georgia. How are you, Fred?
What's up, Fred?
Yeah, hi. How are you?
All right.
Hey, I just have a couple of quick comments to make, and you guys can take it away. But I'm a Vietnam veteran. I served in 68, 69 for 13 months with the 4th Battalion, 12th Infantry, 109th Light Infantry Brigade. I was a company commander,
mm-hmm.
and I was about the same level, same rank that John Kerry was when he was there.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things you need to remember about Army awards. You can't get them unless they go before a review board.
Right.
It's all done pretty much the same way.
Mm-hmm.
If these guys are questioning John Kerry's awards, they're questioning mine.
Right.
Because they're saying that mine are bogus, too.
Right.
And every Vietnam veteran ought to get really pretty pissed off about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excuse me, pretty upset about
that's
that.
All right.
No, you can say pissed off.
The other thing that I wanted to comment on, I shouldn't do this because it gets inside my head and it spins around in there all day long, but I listened to a little bit of conservative radio the other day, and they had one of these characters who claimed to be a swift boat guy on, and he was describing an incident in which he was trying to make the allegation that somehow Kerry was a coward. Well, the guy that was doing the interview was conservative, wanted to hear him say that the guy was a coward, but
yeah.
What the guy was really telling the commentator, what the swift boat veteran was really saying was that actually the guy making the allegation, I can't remember what his name was,
yeah.
against Kerry, probably deserted his post under fire. And Kerry probably, if it had been me, I'd have put him up on charges. Kerry's probably a nicer guy than me. I'd have court-martialed his ass.
Yeah.
But he basically he said that they came under fire. He was manning the main armament for the boat, the swift boat guy. He was some kind of a third-class gunner or something. And he abandoned the gun to tell Kerry he was wounded, but he was okay. And in the meantime, Kerry's lost to go tell him, I got a scratch on the arm.
Wow.
Probably got court-martialed.
Right.
And that's probably why he's pissed off at him.
That's probably
wow,
true.
Wow, I hadn't heard that.
Well, man, thanks for telling us
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, thanks for letting us know. And see, I bet you there are other military people that feel the same way, that you know, by disrespecting John Kerry's medals, they're also disrespecting theirs. They don't just give these out for laughs, folks. They
yeah,
do
yeah.
have to go through a review.
Of course they do. And it's not, you know, I just think that, again, for this president to, you know, for these guys to align themselves with a guy who was AWOL, for a guy who was, you know, more privileged and took advantage of the privilege more than John Kerry ever did. John Kerry made a choice to go.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, it's heinous to me that these guys have that corrupt a soul.
Oh, yeah. No
you
doubt.
We got Carlene in Illinois listening to XM. Hi, Carlene.
Good morning, Carlene.
You guys are great.
Thanks a lot.
What I want to say is, when they ran the Willie Horton ad, when the first King George ran for president,
yeah.
the masterminds of that was George W. Bush, Lee Atwater, and Roger Ailes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Three corrupt people if there ever lived.
Right.
Those
right.
were three of them.
Right.
And you cannot make me believe that George W. Bush isn't on this trash that they're putting out on John Kerry.
Well, he certainly didn't when McCain brought up the idea of the
repudiating it,
they certainly didn't do that.
No.
They weren't willing to distance themselves. In fact, they're starting to spread a rumor that during his Vietnam service, Kerry actually saved Willie Horton's life.
Tom, is Willie out on parole?
Apparently. Tom, Long Island, how are you?
Hi, how you guys doing?
Hey, pretty Tom.
Good. Listen, I want to let you guys know that today is the third anniversary of the August 6th PDB. With
oh,
the
that's right.
Yeah,
yes, yes.
US.
Yeah, the anniversary of the truth being, you know, turned away.
Truth come right. to light. Or actually, no.
I just want to ask one question. Are you guys going to play that Lawrence Kolb interview this weekend again?
The Lawrence Korb interview? I don't know. Brendan, is it going to be on the... Yeah, apparently we are. Yeah, it's
okay,
on the best show.
Because I missed it because I really wanted to hear that.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be on this weekend.
Tomorrow morning, 6 to 10 Eastern.
Okay, you guys rule.
Okay, thanks a lot, man.
Thanks a lot. We appreciate
it. Thanks for calling.
You know, you got a lot of rockers calling. The whole thing about, you know, you guys rock, you guys rule.
It's great, man.
It's
great.
Lots of fun.
We got more fun coming up. We got the Dog of the Week from Mark Reilly in our next segment, so stay tuned here on Air America Radio. Hey, check us out at morningsedition.com where you can blog, email, and waste lots of time at work looking at our links.
You're still using Hershey syrup to make chocolate milk?
Yeah, why?
Syrup's great on ice cream, but when it comes to chocolate milk, we switched to rich chocolate Ovaltine.
Ovaltine?
With Hershey syrup, my kids only get chocolate. But with Ovaltine, they get a whole lot more. Great taste plus vitamins.
Yeah, but how does it really taste?
It's great. It's really chocolatey.
And rich chocolate Ovaltine's better for you than Hershey syrup.
Wow, now I can feel good about giving my kids chocolate milk.
More Ovaltine, please.
I was scared to death signing a lease, I'll tell you that.
Who's going to help us do this? Realtor. It's like we have to have a trained professional that's going to go out and look for exactly what we want.
Whether you pay utilities or whether you don't.
If I were looking for another property, I wouldn't do it without a commercial realtor. I don't have the expertise.
When you're ready to lease or buy a commercial property, ask your agent if they're a realtor, a member of the National Association of Realtors.
I could just turn it over to her and that it would be done and be done correctly.
A message from your local, state, and national realtor associations.
Can you believe this? 30 seconds is all they give me for this promo. I mean, how do they expect me to explain my show in 30 seconds? Besides saying that I'm Mike Fader and that I'm on Sirius Talk Central 148 every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., what the hell else could I say about my show in 30 seconds? I suppose I could say that my show is nothing more or less than my serialized life story, and probably everybody else's story, too. That it's also ranting and raving about politics, culture, and general comic insanity of daily life. But could I do it in 30 seconds? I don't know.
The Mike Fader Show, Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Talk Central 148.
My dad can throw a baseball 100 million feet.
Yeah, well, my dad can throw a football 1,000 bazillion feet. That's twice as far.
So, my dad can hold his breath underwater for 5 minutes.
That's nothing. My dad can make a 360 two-handed backward slam dunk with his eyes closed.
Yeah, well, my dad, he can make quarters come out of his nose.
Big deal. My dad can eat a whole jalapeno pepper in one bite.
Get out.
Yep, that's impossible. He'd explode. Boom!
Kids who spend time with their fathers are less likely to get in trouble or fail in school. Be there for your kids. Give them someone to brag about. Remember, it takes a man to be a dad.
My dad can smash a soda can with his head.
No way.
I saw him do it.
Cool.
Then we took him to the hospital.
Call 1-800-790-DADS for more information. A public service message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
Hi, everybody. It's me, Joe DiMassina, for RAD. Recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. I'm here to remind you, if you celebrate, then designate. Because if you booze and cruise, you lose.
We can sing, song, and do anything if we dare to dream.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAB, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'll check on the kittens.
Yeah.
All right? Partially hydrogenated vegetable oil.
Don't give the kittens any of that.
I'm not talking to non-sequiturs. You know what that means? That's the opening bell, and that means it's time for the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Good news, forward-thinking investors. California Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger is launching a worldwide billboard campaign featuring his image for the sole purpose of attracting more business to his state. And will it work? Hell no. Only a congenital idiot would move their business to another state during a so-called Bush economic recovery. But take note, the possibilities for returns on your investment dollar are still endless. No, not with those outmoded outsource industries like textiles, tool and die, and computer. But billboards. Lots and lots of Schwarzenegger billboards all over the country, in China, Russia, and Japan, too, where they have to pay extra for those funny letters. And the best thing about it is that it's funded by California tax dollars. Perhaps the very dollars the billboardinator cut from his state's workers' comp fund. Now, every time you cash that stock dividend check, you can get a warm feeling knowing it came from the pockets of good old American citizens injured at work. Like that poor man down the street afflicted with tampon lung, or that nice lady next door with the Stuckey's pecan log permanently embedded in her forehead. Remember, they're suffering for you. So once again, it's a win-win for all the people, from the modest rich investor all the way up to the humble richer investor. So if you're looking for an investment that just won't go dry, try the billboard industry. Plus, it's a lot safer than making tampons and cheese nut logs. This has been the Morning Sedition Friday Business Report. Now, you know what time it is? Time for Mark Riley's Dog of the Week.
All right. Well, you know what, Mark Maron? There were quite a few candidates for Dog of the Week for the first days of August.
Uh-huh.
The dog days of August.
Yes, sir.
There was Alan Keyes, arch conservative and Maryland resident, thinking seriously about running for the United States Senate from the state of Illinois. Then there's the state of Alabama, which executed a 74-year-old man with prostate and colon cancer, who, by all accounts, also suffered from dementia.
Oh.
But this week's lowlifes came from a different quarter.
Mm.
A group calling itself Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is running a 60-second ad alleging John Kerry isn't telling the truth about his war record. The group has bought $500,000 worth of airtime in three battleground states. Trouble is, the ad is so full of lies and half-truths, it would be funny if it weren't serious.
Mm.
None of the veterans quoted in the ad actually served on the same Swift boat with John Kerry. Those who really did praise Kerry's heroism. The doctor who said he treated Kerry for injuries in the ad isn't the same guy who signed the medical report on his injuries.
Hmm.
Senator John McCain, who chairs the Bush campaign in his home state of Arizona, condemned the ad and asked the White House to do the same. Bush has declined. McCain says the ad sounds like the same kind of slander leveled against him 4 years ago. Wonder why. These Swift boat bottom feeders need to crawl back under the rock that spawned them. That's exactly what will happen when their money runs out, because they are utterly without scruples, dignity, or half a brain among them. That's why the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth are hands down the Morning Sedition Dogs of the Week. Enjoy your kibble, chumps.
Now let's hear that second part of this ad series.
If you have any question about what John Kerry's made up, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry's my poop fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry.
John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Boat Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Oh, my goodness.
Man, I know.
Are you sure that was the Swift Boat or the short yellow bus?
No.
Veterans for Truth.
How about this one?
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
Genius! The man is a genius!
The conviction, man.
Oof.
So you're going to hang out at home this weekend?
I'm hanging out at home, man. I'm gonna do the home thing. Wash some clothes and sit out in the backyard and enjoy my wife and daughter. You know, the whole nine yards.
Guess what, buddy?
What?
Jamie Rubin, who didn't show up yesterday, apparently is rumored to be going to show up in the next hour. What do you think of that?
I'm down.
Yeah, I were looking forward to talking to him, but I guess there was some sort of problem with a new cell phone.
Oh, he got a new one?
I don't know what it means.
Maybe
he
got Sprint, man. Maybe
that's right. Finally, the ad worked.
I sold
a new phone to somebody.
Coming up in the next hour of Morning's Edition, Kerry Senior Advisor Jamie Rubin, the Presidential Daily Briefing, and this is a special one, the Liberal Agenda, and so much more here on Air America Radio.
Growing up on a farm out here, I just thought life was great. I had my own horse. I drove a tractor with my dad. For me, I thought farm life was the American dream. Hi, my name is Rex Phipps. That all changed when I was reminded how dangerous working on a farm can be. My cousin was almost killed in a terrible accident. I had to do something. I couldn't help my cousin, but I could help other people avoid this on their farms. So I volunteered at farm safety day camps for children of all ages, teaching kids about being safe around tractors, tools, and animals. Just like I found a need to fill in my community, your community needs you. Find out how you can help in your hometown. Get out and live. Volunteer.
Brought to you by the Hitachi Foundation's Yoshiyama Award for Exemplary Service to the Community and this station.
Ben.
I am the Edison photograph. To delight those who would have melody on the
screen. Now, Sirius Satellite Fresh. It's on.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Alabama Senator Richard Shelby is on the warpath, charging federal law enforcement officials of abuse after a newspaper reported that federal investigators had concluded he leaked to the media classified messages from the eve of the 9/11 attacks. Washington Post is citing anonymous sources this morning close to the investigation. They say the Alabama Republican senator's role had been confirmed to the FBI by Fox News political correspondent Carl Cameron. Cameron is denying the charge. The newspaper said the alleged leak was from June of 2002. Following a classified briefing to the Senate Select Committee on Intelligence, Shelby was the committee's vice chair at the time. Shelby may be hearing from the nation's top cop soon, the U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft. The Attorney General, in a December 2001 review of leaks of classified information, said such leaks of material do substantial damage to the security interests of the nation. Ashcroft promised swift prosecution of leaks by anyone back in 2001. In other news, President Bush was campaigning in the state where unemployment has been on the rise. Bush paid a visit to Michigan yesterday, expressing optimism about the state's economic future. Listen.
Recovery here in Michigan has lagged behind other parts. But we got a plan in place. The economy's improving. It's getting better. Factory orders are on the rise. Manufacturing jobs are coming back. Your unemployment rate has fallen a full percent, and we're not going to rest until everybody who wants to work can find a job.
While the president was telling thousands of supporters that things were getting better at a local community event, Bush delivered his message of hope yesterday, where Michigan in June recorded one of its highest unemployment levels at 8%. It was above the national rate of 5.6%. Supporters slipping for the president in a state that was considered least likely to be a problem for a Republican president. Polls recently indicate that Bush is suffering from a poor approval rating in the state of New Hampshire. The Granite State should be Bush country, since there are more Republicans than Democrats registered there. There's a GOP-dominated legislature with a Republican governor in both houses of Congress. Also surprising is the state's economic growth after years of massive declines. With all that, George W. Bush is getting a poor job approval rating. Many of the voters say the loss of support may be linked to the huge number of military reservists who have been called up for active duty in the state of New Hampshire. Key members of the multinational force have given their blessings to an American demand not to accede to the demands of Iraqi kidnappers. Vote of confidence came from America's biggest ally in Iraq, Great Britain, followed by Italy, Poland, and Bulgaria. The support was in response to the spate of kidnappings in the country by insurgents. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Can you believe this? 30 seconds is all they give me for this promo. I mean, how do they expect me to explain my show in 30 seconds? Besides saying that I'm Mike Fader and that I'm on Sirius Talk Central 148 every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., what the hell else could I say about my show in 30 seconds? I suppose I could say that my show is nothing more or less than my serialized life story, and probably everybody else's story, too. That it's also ranting and raving about politics, culture, and general comic insanity of daily life. But could I do it in 30 seconds? I don't know.
The Mike Fader Show, Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Talk Central 148.
This is Earth and Sky, speaking with Jane Goodall.
Dr. Goodall spent 25 years in the wild with chimpanzees.
You find these long-lasting supportive bonds between family members that can last to a life of 60 years. The importance of learning in chimpanzees, just as in humans. The nonverbal communication, kissing, embracing, holding hands, patting on the back. And you also find that they, like we, have a dark side to their nature, and they're capable of brutality and war, as well as compassion and altruism.
Chimpanzees and other great apes are on the very edge of extinction from threats including logging, mining, poaching, and diseases such as Ebola.
That's why Dr. Goodall has traded in her research with chimps to spend more time with another primate, humans.
I'm now traveling 300 days a year and trying to raise awareness because, you know, what is the point of me or anyone else struggling to save chimpanzees, forests, or any other creature or any other habitat if at the same time we're not raising new generations to be better stewards than we've been?
More about Jane Goodall tomorrow. How you can help and a transcript of our interview with Jane Goodall are at earthsky.org. With thanks to the National Science Foundation, we're Block and Bird for Earth and Sky.
Okay, go ahead.
I have something very
sound it out.
Important.
Good.
To talk to dads about reading with your children. Most kids want to read. If you spend even a little time with them every night, it will help a lot. It will help most. What's this word?
Take each letter at a time.
Motivate.
Good job.
What's it mean?
Yeah, it means to encourage or, you know, help someone do something better.
Help motivate them to try harder, which can help them become better readers, even faster.
Excellent.
When kids read better, it builds their confidence, and that can make a big difference in a kid's life while they grow up.
You're getting really good.
Thanks, Dad.
Keep going.
Reading with
For more ideas on how to be a better dad, call 1-800-790-DADS. This has been a message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council.
All right, what do you want to read next?
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
I will not let it rest. I will not let it rest. Why should I let it rest? It was beautiful. It was perfect. It was clear, concise. It's the most honest thing that he said since he's been in office, and I think... I think it's worthy of repetition. Don't you guys?
I do.
We got everybody's here. All the boys are down here in the bunker.
Here oh, wait a minute. We're not supposed to make this sound like a frat house kind of thing, we should say.
Well, who said that? It's not a frat house.
Who said
house.
The boys?
Just because some fellas.
Well, actually, there are no women here, so I guess it is the boys.
Just because some fellas are hanging out doing the morning radio work does not mean it's a frat house.
Up here in our 41st floor tree house,
hey,
high above Batman, Manhattan.
Put down the beer bong. Am I right?
Yep. And Brendan
McDonald is approaching the soundboard.
Get the girl out of the room, okay?
So Chris can take a bathroom break.
Yes.
It's a changing of the guard on the soundboard. This is very exciting. A lot of people don't get to see this ceremony unless they come visit the studio. We have many tourists come all the time to see the changing of the sound engineer.
Dave and Ogle.
This is very exciting. It's a tradition that has been around for... There goes Chris.
Yes.
See you later.
He doesn't have that big furry thing on his head like the British guys do, though, when they change the guard.
Dude.
Yo!
Did you read this? That's Mark Riley there. This is Morning Sedition, by the way, if you're not clear.
Present.
You're listening to Air America Radio. The Democratic National Committee's appointed religion advisor has resigned after a Catholic group criticized her for supporting an atheist claim that the words "under God" in the Pledge of Allegiance is unconstitutional. It is unconstitutional.
Well, doesn't she have a right to her opinion, just like the Swift vote guys?
Yeah, well, they buckled. You know what I mean? In terms of, like, I don't know why she had to step down, but the issue is that they put that in. Years
1954.
54 as a reaction to the red threat.
The McCarthy hearings.
Right. So I've always said that maybe they should amend, You know, just make a new amendment. You know, just add another line. You know, like, you know, one nation under God or not.
Or not.
Yes. With liberty and justice for some. I mean, why can't they be honest about it? I mean, a lot of people believe that under God is just, it's innocuous. Not unlike, you know, it says in God we trust on the money.
Yeah, on the money.
Which a lot of people don't realize that was originally put there as a disclaimer. I'm happy to say that we have someone on the phone that was supposed to be with us yesterday. He's joining us from Kansas City. He is one of Senator Kerry's foreign policy advisors and was the Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs with the former President Clinton. Please welcome to the show, Jamie Rubin.
Good morning.
Good morning. It's nice to be with you.
Thank you so much.
To have you, sir. Where, are you with Kerry now?
I'm in Kansas City traveling with Senator Kerry.
Can you put him on, please?
Only kidding. I think.
So, I think he might even be sleeping, but I can't be sure.
Are you on the bus? Do you know my buddy Jim Loftus?
I like that man, Jim Loftus.
Great guy. I've known him since college. Great guy.
I will tell him you said hi.
So let me ask you something. How is, you know, John Kerry is talking a lot about how he's going to be able to fight terrorism better and protect Americans against future terrorist attacks. And can you flesh out some of the plans that he has for that?
Yes, absolutely. I think on Homeland Security, he has argued for some time now that we're not spending the right amount of money and we're not spending it in the right way, that we need to have real port security. Very tiny percentage of the vehicles coming into our ports are actually inspected. He's argued that we need to have chemical and nuclear plants secured.
Right.
There are very, very serious security risks there.
Right.
But most importantly, I think the difference between Senator Kerry and George Bush is how we will be seen and approach and how we will approach the world.
Right.
In order to find all of the terrorists, in order to prevent the growth of the Al-Qaeda organization, in order to prevent recruitment for these extremist Islamic groups, we need and have to have the best possible cooperation of the rest of the world. You just can't do this kind of thing alone. You can't find all these people. You can't arrest them all by yourself. You can't discover all their plots. You can't shrink the number of recruits for extremist Islam by yourself. You have to have moderate Islamic governments, moderate governments in the Arab world who want to work with you and are seen to benefit from working with you. You have to have governments across Europe and across the world where the cooperation with the United States is not grudging, but enthusiastic. As a result of the alienation and resentment created by President Bush, that's simply not going to happen.
How's he going to do that? How's he going to pull those people together?
John Kerry
yeah.
is going to be able to do that because I think the first thing that's going to happen is when, as I hope, President Bush and John Kerry meet and John Kerry is the victor in the election, there's going to be a collective sigh of relief in the rest of the world.
Oh, okay.
And they are going to say, I'm going to give this new guy a fresh start, a fresh chance, and I will do my best to work with him. And as long as we continue to pursue our interests properly and continue to persuade countries rather than alienate them, we still got to do what we got to do, but there's no reason to gratuitously alienate countries all over the world.
Have you gotten any assurances from countries?
We are not engaged in a negotiating process prior to the election. This is just the approach that Senator Kerry
So made. You hope that all this will work out the way you're saying?
We believe that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Jamie Rubin, is Iraq John Kerry's Achilles heel? I've heard critic after critic say that John Kerry, if he was elected, really couldn't do a whole lot differently, do anything different in Iraq than what President Bush has done. He can't really withdraw the troops. I know that he's produced a plan for withdrawing the troops over time, but can he really make a difference in what is obviously now a bad situation?
Well, the only big difference one could make between the current administration and a new administration is what you said, is pulling out, and he has rejected that. John Kerry has said that failure in Iraq is a disaster for the region, a disaster for the United States, and a disaster for the world. We don't want to have Iraq become a failed state the way Afghanistan was, so that extremist groups like Al-Qaeda can plan attacks against the rest of the world from the chaos of Iraq. So the only way to differentiate yourself from President Bush, as many people want, is to say we're going to pull out, well, then, yes, he's got the same position as President Bush. I think most Americans have that position, which is whatever you might have thought about how we got there, and we can talk about that for many, many hours,
right.
What a failure the approach and the way we went to war was. We're there now, and failure is not an option. But there is a big difference between the way President Bush and a President Kerry would be able to attract, again, international support, much as this answer was to the last question. We would go about trying to involve other countries in specific activities that would give them a role at the table, specific decision-making activities. So, for example, we would create an overall coordinator of economic and financial assistance.
Right.
So, and that wouldn't be an American. We would still spend our money the way we saw fit, but an international figure would coordinate assistance.
Right.
That figure would then be in a position to entice Europeans and Arabs and other countries to give more economic assistance. We would jointly host a meeting with Arab countries so that all the countries around Iraq develop an interest in not interfering in the affairs of Iraq, which is part of the problem right now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Jamie Rubin, we got a couple of seconds left. I want to hit you with a two-part question.
Hold on. Let me just finish my last thought. And so all of those activities, by involving other countries in the success or the goals of Iraq, giving them responsibility, that's the way to get more help, and that would be the big difference between Kerry and Bush.
Okay.
We'll come back in a second, and we'll talk to you. We'll ask a couple more questions on the other side of this break. Thank you. Jamie Rubin is with us. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Investors don't have to make a choice between service and low price.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation on low-cost investing.
It has been my pursuit since the very earliest of days to try to lower the cost of investing for every individual investor out there.
With trades as low as $9.95, Schwab's new Trades for Less has lowered the cost of online equity trades.
By driving down the cost, making it easier for people to get a variety of services that make them a better investor, that's what this company is all about.
Schwab offers online equity trades as low as $9.95, plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local branch today.
$9.95 rate requires enrollment in Schwab Trader CT or at least $1 million in household assets. Other trading discounts subject to eligibility requirements. Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc. Member SIPC and NYSE.
It's cracked up, plays George Collin. Rawdog plays him too. Cracked up plays the cleaner bits, and Rawdog plays the blue. Rawdog's 147, Cracked up's 146. Both play lots of comedy and other funny shit.
Cracked up and Rawdog, two flavors of funny from Sirius.
If FM could, they probably would. It's radio that's cool. No FCC rules.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
Melvin A. Goodman, professor of international security at the National War College.
I don't think there's ever been a greater intelligence scandal than the one we're living through. This is, to me, worse than the intelligence failure at Pearl Harbor, worse than the intelligence failure with regard to not understanding the weakness of the Soviet Union. In some ways, it's worse than 9/11, which was indeed an intelligence failure in which 3,000 people died. But to take this country to war, to manipulate the Congress of the United States, to manipulate the American people, and it's still being done, even though David Kay made it clear that essentially every intelligence assessment of the CIA was wrong. Where I disagree with Mr. Kay is that he believes that George Bush was a victim of this intelligence, which I think really is somewhat naive and nonsensical on David Kay's part. Bush wasn't the victim of this intelligence. He was the one who manipulated this intelligence.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask about the apartment on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented. May I help you?
My name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available. Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really?
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim, call 800-669-9777. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
We're back. We got Jamie Rubin on the phone. And we're going to talk to him some more right now. He's with us from Kansas City. He's with John Kerry. We're talking about foreign policy and Kerry.
Oh, absolutely. The Kerry position on various issues. And before the break, I wanted to ask you, Jamie Rubin, a bit about how Senator Kerry will deal with the twin issues of Pakistan and Afghanistan. Obviously, these two countries border each other. There's been a lot of fierce fighting on the border. Rumors that Osama bin Laden is going back and forth between the two places. And now we see that the Pakistanis supposedly have been cracking down on al-Qaeda on their side of the border. Senator Kerry send more troops into Afghanistan to stabilize the situation there? And B, what will he do about Pakistan? Will he put more pressure on President Musharraf?
Well, I think you're right to focus on this issue because if finishing off the al-Qaeda organization is our goal, as it well should be, that is the most likely place where the leadership is. And it's really a shame that we didn't finish it off when we had so many forces in Afghanistan, instead diverted so much attention to Iraq. But as far as the future is concerned, let me say this. John Kerry would reach out initially to President Mubarak and try to get an effective working relationship. There are three big issues that would be part of that relationship. One is really cracking down on the al-Qaeda potential.
Did you say Mubarak or Musharraf?
Did I say Mubarak? Yeah. I meant Musharraf.
Okay.
See how easy it is?
He can be friends with both of them.
Yeah, he can be friends with both. Why not?
The second issue would be the nuclear proliferation issue, where we've had such dangerous proliferation of weapons of mass destruction capability from the Pakistani laboratories and experts. And the third, obviously, is the evolution to democracy there. Let's face it, the source of more of the recruits and more of the extremist Islamic ideology and leadership has been from Pakistan than almost any other country other than Saudi Arabia. Unless we get Pakistan right, this is going to be a continuing problem.
That's what I'm curious about. I mean, can he, in this instance, say to the Pakistanis, on the one hand, we want you to go after al-Qaeda and the other people that are functioning within your borders, and at the same time, get tough with them about the nukes? Isn't he going to have to trade off one for the other?
Well, hopefully you don't in an effective foreign policy. I'll tell you what we might do that is different. One of the recommendations of the 9/11 Commission is that we really get a handle on the international education program.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, there are thousands and thousands of young men being indoctrinated with the most extremist versions of Islam every day at the so-called madrasas in Pakistan. What we really need to do is offer the Pakistanis, perhaps through the United Nations, a massive education program so that they can afford to pay for education of their own kids through a program that does not indoctrinate them with these extremist views. I think that's the kind of incentive we can offer Pakistan. There are probably others. But we have to remember that Musharraf has to make a choice. And if he ends up not choosing to be part of the West, either by not cracking down on al-Qaeda or not preventing the potential of nuclear proliferation, then we have to deal with that and confront that directly. I think we need to be much more focused on it. I think President Kerry will be much more focused personally on it, and he might even get the guy's seat right.
What about putting more troops in Afghanistan? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's very likely. I don't want to make specific troop promises on behalf of Senator Kerry, but I think that finishing the job in Afghanistan is something that he's deeply committed to and believes was a terrible mistake.
Yeah.
To finish it effectively, not only do we have to crack down on the al-Qaeda remnants and leadership on the border that you mentioned, but we also have to provide the security and stability with our allies that will allow these elections to take place so that the promise of freedom and prosperity that was brought to the entire world when the United States correctly invaded Afghanistan isn't squandered.
Has he made any statements in relation to putting more troops in Afghanistan?
I think we've made a strong commitment to finish the job.
Mm-hmm. How about North Korea? Diplomacy or confrontation, real quick?
Well, I think you have to try diplomacy first, and you're not going to really get a straight answer from the North Koreans as to whether you can solve this problem diplomatically unless you talk to them directly. We've been arguing for too long over the shape of the table and not seeing whether we can really do business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jamie Rubin.
We used to negotiate with the Soviet Union face-to-face, so there's nothing that you're doing to accept their regime by negotiating. You're just trying to do the country's business.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with being an active diplomat just because this president is a snotty bully.
Thank you very much for joining us, Jamie Rubin.
We appreciate it.
Jamie Rubin is Senator Kerry's foreign policy advisor, and he was Assistant Secretary of State for Public Affairs in President Clinton's administration. I would like now to do the presidential palm pilot, which just came here a little earlier from Ramon, who is now dancing in the Oval Office. Here's the president's schedule for today, 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Stay on message.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
That message could be better. 9:20 a.m. Speak at the Unity Journalists of Color Convention. Wait a minute. Blacks and journalists? God, I'll be glad when this campaign is over. 11:30 a.m. Travel to New Hampshire. Ah, white people. 12:30 p.m. Speak at picnics, Stratham, New Hampshire. Tell them ants never stop thinking of new ways to ruin our picnics, and neither do I. 2 p.m. Tell voters in New Hampshire, who are you going to believe, a senator from New England or one of your own? 3:40 p.m. Arrive at Walker's Point, Maine for nephew's wedding. Wedding toast. Gays never stop thinking of new ways to harm our weddings, and neither do I. 5 p.m. Watch daughters dance drunkenly on the table. Stare longingly at the open bar. Damn. 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 11 p.m. Bedtime in Kennebunkport, Maine. Think happy thought. I'm an hour away from Canada. I could just whip across the border, and no one would ever see me again.
Mm.
There you go. That's the president's daily briefing. Can we hear the new... can we...
Oh, you're not going to do that again. Yes, you are.
I want to hear the second Swift Boat ad for the anti-Kerry ad.
Sure. If you have any question about what John Kerry's made of, just spend 3 minutes with the men who served with him.
John Kerry?
He bad.
John Kerry bad.
I don't like him.
John Kerry bad.
John Kerry loses.
Me no like John Kerry.
He not good.
John Kerry my poop. Fire truck.
John Kerry not good.
Kerry no good.
Bad.
I don't like John Kerry. John Kerry took my shoe.
Swift Book Veterans for Truth is responsible for the content of this advertisement.
Oh, boy.
Now, the only coherent guy in that ad was John Edwards, who's at the very top of it.
I know. I can't believe in the real ad they lifted it.
Can they sue? Can he sue for plagiarism or something?
I mean, I don't think so. I don't really know how that works. But yeah, I think once it's public domain, it's public and it's out there, you can take it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ordinarily you'd say it was Seth.
And
but
if they can't sue, we're in trouble.
Yeah. By the way, I like that Jamie Rubin really liked your bully line.
I like when you get those guys, those policy cats that are laying down the hard line, and they just drop one in, and it kind of throws them. They're like, whoa, there's funny in there.
Now, I'll be honest with you. John Kerry has been criticized in some quarters for not really thinking out of the box as far as foreign policy is concerned. But if he can, in fact, bring some of our, I guess, once in future allies back to the table with us to deal with some of these problems, if he can, in fact, do that, we're going to be a hell of a lot better off.
Well, I mean, like he was saying, it's true that even people like Nixon, you know, went
to China.
Yeah, met the people that were, you know, our adversaries, you know, face to face, sat down, tried to hammer stuff out. This guy won't even go to the NAACP.
Well, he doesn't travel much anyway.
Yeah, but he won't even deal with people in his own country that he feels disagree with him. He's having people pulled out. He's ripping up people's tickets who are supposed to see him at events if they think that they're going to protest the event. He's having people sign loyalty oaths in order to get into events. That's how afraid he is from dealing with adversaries. Like, that's not what a diplomat should do.
What a weasel. Anyway, still to come, the liberal agenda, the presidential daily briefing, and you on our telephone. Stay with us. This is Air America Radio.
You
want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Want to turn your car into a stealth fighter? Invisible to all types of speed detection equipment, including radar and laser? Well, now you can with Phaser. With a range of up to 3 miles, the Phaser guarantees that you will avoid all types of speed traps. In fact, the manufacturer will even pay your fine if you get a ticket. More than a mere radar detector. The Phaser works by bouncing a mixture of radar signals and invisible infrared pulses to confuse the computer inside the radar or laser gun. The Phaser is the ultimate way to avoid costly speeding tickets. In fact, it is been made illegal in some states, so call now for details. Remember, the Phaser is guaranteed or your speeding ticket is paid. So if you never want to worry about hearing this again, go stealth and get the Phaser today.
To order risk-free, call now 866-794-6495. That's 866-794-6495. Call 866-794-6495.
Not available in California, Minnesota, Nebraska, Virginia, Oklahoma, or Washington, D.C. Certain restrictions apply to guarantee. Call for details.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. President Bush's campaign remains stone-faced silent on the Swift Boat ad controversy. Leading Republican Senator John McCain yesterday called on the president to condemn the series of ads discrediting the military record of Democratic presidential candidate John Kerry. Closest thing to a Bush repudiation yesterday was a statement from his communications director saying, "We have never and will never question John Kerry's record." Feds yesterday conducted searches at the homes of the founder of an organization that specifically trains medical professionals to respond to chemical and biological attacks. More than 3 dozen agents were involved in the probe in upstate New York and along the Jersey Shore. Militiamen loyal to radical Muslim cleric Murtada al-Sadr staged a series of clashes with Iraqi soldiers and American troops. Some casualties were reported. And Iraq's top Shiite Muslim cleric is on his way to London for medical treatment. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Wouldn't it be cool to catch every great concert event in the country? To travel far and wide and experience all the amazing live music out there? Well, this helicopter, it isn't real. And this jet? Oh, it's real, but you can't afford it. And that's why you've got Sirius to put you front and center for the greatest live music in America. Next weekend, we're live from the Newport Jazz Festival, exclusively on Pure Jazz, Sirius 72.
This is Earth and Sky for Saturday, July 31st. A listener wrote in to say that she's watched pelicans off the coast of Florida scooping fish from the ocean.
She wants to know, how do pelicans drain the water out of their pouch so they can eat the fish?
The pouch of flexible skin attached to the lower half of a pelican's bill can hold a lot of water, close to 20 liters or about 5 gallons. Just lifting its water-filled beak is a task in itself for a pelican. Seabirds such as gulls might make it more difficult by pestering pelicans, even sitting on their heads or backs, hoping to steal a fish.
When a fishing pelican's bill enters the water, the pouch is contracted and the bill slightly opened. Muscles in the pouch pull the bird's flexible lower jaw bones outward to create a large oval opening. Then when the bird closes its beak, the lower jaw returns to its original unbowed position so that small fish and water are trapped inside the pouch.
To drain the water, a pelican lifts its head very slowly with its jaws slightly parted. Excess water flows out the sides of the bill. It's as simple as that. When most of the water is expelled, the bird tosses its head back and swallows the fish. Thanks for that question. To ask us yours, come to our website at earthsky.org. And with thanks to the National Science Foundation, I'm Joel Block.
And I'm Deborah Bird for Earth and Sky.
Yes, that's Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Oh, yeah.
I got to hit this one more time, sorry.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we. I'm George W. Bush, and I approve this message.
The conviction, the only true thing he said in months. Right now, we're pleased to have in our studio our guest is one of the co-authors of All the President's Spin, George W. Bush, The Media, and the Truth. He is also one of the editors of SpinSanity.com, a website that debunks political spin on both sides. He's the assistant managing editor of Columbia Journalism Review's Campaign Desk, which monitors the media's coverage of politics. Please welcome Brian Kiefer to the show.
Yeah, hey. Thanks a lot for having me.
Sure, man. You're pretty young for all this.
Yeah, well, you know, I...
Keep
started
busy,
out, huh? Started out in politics and got pretty tired of it pretty quickly.
So. How'd you start out? Like, what'd you do?
I was working in Washington, D.C. for labor organizations, and I was working on the policy side and reading a lot of spin, really. A lot of it was around the nominations that Bush was putting out after the 2000 election.
Right,
and,
so you were doing the work of, in politics, and you got so pissed off that you're like, this, I got to go this other way.
Yeah, yeah. Very cynical, very young, you know.
That's right. So you realized early on that there's no way to fight spin on a policy level. You got to get out and do it, you know, on an editorial level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You have to do it from outside. I mean, it's not going to change from within.
Fighting spin in the street.
Yeah.
I like
it. It's interesting because I had an English professor once who quit teaching English. He got so disillusioned and bitter that he went into advertising. I always think about that guy. So what do you think of this new terror warning? Is it, do you think it's part of Bush administration spin or what?
Well, it's really hard to tell. And the New York Times is really digging in on this, and they've come back with all kinds of different stories. You know, the information is old. Oh, no, it isn't. Oh, we just arrested this guy who, this is all linked to that. So, I mean, I think it's really hard to tell, and I think it's, you know, incumbent upon the Bush administration to be doing these things fairly because we can't judge them. You know, we don't have that information. And you look back at the war in Iraq, and that's what they didn't do. They didn't present that information fairly, and they didn't present what they knew fairly.
So how is spin different from just, you know, sort of demonic political maneuvering?
Right. Well, spin is as old as politics.
Sure.
I mean, no question. But what the Bush administration has really done is kind of taken the spin to the next level.
Okay.
And they've kind of borrowed, you know, the best or the worst of Reagan, depending on how you look at it, in the way that they created an image for him and, you know, the poll-tested language that he started. And then they've taken kind of the Clinton war room mentality and all that sort of public relations tactics they've taken and made it their day-to-day MO in the way they sell their policies.
Sure. So when spin is, you know, truly reached the perfect catharsis, the perfect result of spin is something Orwellian, like
right.
Ignorance is strength or
it gets
clean air initiative.
Right, right. I mean, and, you know, what it comes down to is they really narrowed the gap between selling a war and selling a pair of sneakers or selling anything else.
It's all about framing, as George Lakoff says.
Absolutely, and it's all about your message and, you know, the little words that you're using and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm.
If you were going to grade the media on either calling spin or countering spin, A to F, what would you give them?
They really get an F for calling spin most of the time.
Because some of them don't even know they're doing it.
Right, right. I mean, a lot of it, you know, I mean, it's tough for campaign reporters when they're sitting there deluged by spin but from the candidates all the time to really sit there and fact check them, but... You know, what we're seeing, I work for the Columbia Journalism Review for my day job, and I read all the political coverage all the time. And what we're seeing is reporters too often just sit there and transcribe the spin. You know, they don't make any effort to sort these things out for readers. And when they do, it usually comes out as a he said, she said. So it's, you know, the Bush campaign said black is white and Kerry said gray is white. And, you know, well, we'll just let the reader decide.
So they don't do any real reporting.
There's no real analysis there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, journalists who are... The best qualified, really, to provide this analysis just don't do it because of the kind of the way they're taught and sort of this faux objectivity that the media pretends to.
But how has a media – I mean, this is a not a media-friendly president.
No.
Makes no bones about that.
No.
Most of the people in his administration – remember, Colin Powell once said half-jokingly, let's close the doors on a bunch of reporters and gas them. How does someone this unfriendly manage to cow the media? Usually when the media encounters an unfriendly politician, they go after the jugular, but not here. Why?
Well, in part, it's just because Andrew Card calls it a funnel for information is what they do. And they give reporters very little to work with. And the nature of the White House beat is such that you have to report what the president is saying.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's saying, you know, if all he's giving you is talking points, then that's all you have to report. You don't have much else to say.
Right.
So it and at the same time, this is a very disciplined administration where, you know, I mean, you talk to reporters and they say you go all the way to, you know, Karl Rove and He'll just tell you exactly the same thing that Scott McClellan just told you in the briefing room. These guys are relentlessly on message and incredibly disciplined, and there are very few cracks in the facade. And so it becomes very, very difficult for reporters to kind of break through. So in part, they're not critical just because they don't have that information, and the White House is very good at withholding it.
And there's also an issue of repetition with this administration, that if you repeat the same talking point in a couple of different ways, like Cheney says, you know, Iraq and terrorism is connected, you know, vis-a-vis the relationship with Iraq and Al-Qaeda, which is non-existent. And then the other day, Bush gets out and says, you know, should I let this crazy man take over everything, when he's like, yeah, constantly hitting with the same message, that's when spin becomes effective, at least to those people who believe this guy no matter what. See, I don't know how, maybe you have some insight into this. How did this guy become a sympathetic character to so many people in this country?
Well, you know, after September 11th, there was a real rally around the president, I think, you know, both nationally and in the media. And, you know, that's also part of why Bush has gotten such uncritical coverage most of the time, I think, is there's a real kind of fear, you know, and they were very aggressive in kind of suppressing dissent and undermining dissent and labeling people who criticize them or associating them with the terrorists in that very vague kind of way that they have. I mean, this administration, you know, Bush says things like the soundbite you played, and nobody bats an eyelash because they all think he's a verbal bumbler. And what people don't realize is in his prepared speeches, he's very, very careful.
Oh, yeah.
And when he says, you know, Al-Qaeda, Saddam Hussein, you know, 9-11, you know, that's not accidental. But the press doesn't call him on it because they assume, oh, he's
kind of this bumbling
guy.
When he's mean, he's very clear. Let's take some calls. Hang out. We're with Brian Kiefer. He's from Spin. I keep forgetting it.
Spin Sanity.
He's got a new book out called The President, All the President's Spin. He's going to stay with us with your calls, 866-303-2270. So give us a call with any questions relating to Spin. Call us here at Morning Sedition at 666.
Wait a minute.
Ah, sorry, that's the mark of the beast.
That's 866-303-2270.
That's 866-303-2270.
Can you believe this? 30 seconds is all they give me for this promo. I mean, how do they expect me to explain my show in 30 seconds? Besides saying that I'm Mike Fader and that I'm on Sirius Talk Central 148 every Sunday night from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m., what the hell else could I say about my show in 30 seconds? I suppose I could say that my show is nothing more or less than my serialized life story, and probably everybody else's story, too. That it's also ranting and raving about politics, culture, and general comic insanity of daily life. But could I do it in 30 seconds? I don't know.
The Mike Fader Show, Sundays at 10 p.m. Eastern on Sirius Talk Central 148.
This is your Icicle Insight on current events. Here's Peter B. Collins.
The author of a new book called Where Have I Gone Right? The Right Mountain Guide to Getting the Job and Life You Want is Jim Hayhurst. Tell me how your use of the resume and the things that you highlighted in it changed over the years.
Well, I guess the first thing to note is that every resume should be filled with accomplishments. And somewhere around 90% of the typical resumes that are sent into organizations these days list responsibilities I was responsible for. And employers don't want to know that. And if you realize that an employer will take a look at a stack of resumes, which is your first contact with them, he will give or she will give the first viewing of the resume a maximum of 45 seconds. So if I've got 100 resumes in front of me, I'll go through them, I'll give each one 45 seconds, and they will look for accomplishment word. And then they'll work for accomplishments that are relevant to the job we're talking about. So in 45 seconds, you have to have that impact on them.
This is your Icicle Insight on Sirius.
Want to influence a child's life? Wear your seatbelt. Research shows that when a driver doesn't wear a seatbelt, 70% of the time the children in that car don't either. And an unbuckled child is in danger. Traffic crashes are the leading cause of death for children. Help us stop unbuckled adults from endangering children's lives. There's just too much to lose. This has been a public service announcement brought to you by Buckle Up America.
There's a vacation village near Orlando that is unlike any resort in the world. It's for special kids with life-threatening illnesses. It's called Give Kids the World Village, and it provides a week of fun and relaxation for kids and their families. A week of simple pleasures that would make any child smile. Swimming pools, visits to local Orlando theme parks, and unlimited ice cream. A week to live in the moment and to make memories that will last a lifetime. All for free, for their families, too. To find out how you can bring joy into the life of a very sick child, call 800-995-KIDS or visit the Give Kids the World website at gktw.org. And please, help give them a time to remember. Brought to you by Give Kids the World and the Ad Council.
Again, it's Mark Maron on Morning Sedition with Mark Riley. Our guest in the studio is Brian Kiefer, the author of All the President's Spin, George W. Bush, The Media, and the Truth. I think you can get that at a 10% discount at airamericaradio.com through our little book club there. Give us a call, 866-303-2270. Now it's time to look at the Presidential Daily Briefing, that highly classified, top-secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is entitled White House Mole Uncovered. It's you. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that you recently said this.
Our enemies are innovative and resourceful, and so are we. They never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people, and neither do we.
Mr. President, truthful statements are harmful. Lately, we've been spending much of our energy putting out truth fires for you. Understand? But this is different. We have long assumed that you never stop thinking about new ways to harm our country and our people. But you're not supposed to say it out loud. We used to think we could count on you. We used to think that you could count on you. Apparently not. For our part, of course, we will tell everyone that it was a minor mistake. Watch how our officials look into the camera and cover your butt. That's called lying, and we thought you had that skill nailed down by now. If you need a refresher course, watch Cheney. That's why he's there. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security.
All right.
So you want to drop those numbers real quick?
Well, now this is going
to
be interesting.
Because I want Brian to spin them.
Oh, yeah. Brian, how are you going to spin these numbers?
I'm going to unspin these.
Okay.
The nation's payroll growth slowed dramatically in July. 32,000 jobs, which the copy calls paltry, were added. And this is a sign that maybe the rough patch of the economy hit in June isn't over yet. Now, the unemployment rate dropped from 5.6 to 5.5% in June, according to the Labor Department. That jobless rate is the lowest since October 2001. These figures, which seem to be contradictory, can happen sometimes going in different directions because they use two different statistical surveys.
Didn't even keep pace with population growth. Yeah.
No, they were expecting 215 to 247,000 jobs during the month of July. Spin it for us, Brian.
Yeah, well, that's not totally surprising. They do use two different data sets, so that is where the difference comes from. And also, a lot of people have been dropping out of the labor force is another theory on why the unemployment can go down even as you're
not. You got to spin it better than that, man. Bush can't do that. Bush can't use that.
Well,
Bush can't say the labor force is dropping out.
Here's what Bush will say. It's getting better.
Yeah, well, the Bush administration has been spinning the job projections, you know, for a whole year now, if not longer than that.
It's that repetition thing.
Really, yeah. Right, absolutely.
They think if they keep repeating it, they'll hypnotize the unemployed into thinking they're working.
Right, same thing with the deficit. You know, we're going to cut it in half. They have no plan to do that, but if you hear them talk, you would think they might.
Let's take a call. John in Alabama, how are you?
John!
How are you doing today, guys?
How are you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Good. Hey, how do you spin the fact that George Bush valiantly served our country when everybody knows that the reason you joined the National Guard during the Vietnam War was not to serve your country, but to get out of going over there and actually getting shot at? I mean, it's just...
It's baffling, isn't it? Yeah. Thanks for your call, John. Did I lose him? I'm sorry. He was sort of breaking up there. But that's a good point. Is this assault on John Kerry's military record, the continuing theme, you know, given that, you know, George Bush was, you know, a coward and opted out to use his, you know, privilege to, you know, not serve, is it going to stick?
Well, this is the reason that they're having this 527 organization doing their dirty work for them here, is that they don't want to go anywhere near this. The last thing they want is a debate over, you know, who served in Vietnam, who did what there. This is not an issue they want to go anywhere near. So the 527 here, the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth, is really kind of getting down in the gutter for them.
Right. Okay. Yeah. We got Michael in Miami. How are you, Michael?
Good morning. Oh,
Michael?
No, that's not Michael.
Oh, it's not?
No, wait a minute. That's Michael.
Hey, Michael. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
What's up?
Yeah, I just wanted to say I think you guys are mistaken when you think that a reporter's job is to do anything else but record what's happening. The analysis should be done with shows like yourselves and others, But the reporting itself, they should be like a tape recorder and just basically record what's going on. Let us decipher, and then, of course, later, let it be digested more thoroughly with shows, commentaries,
okay,
and things of the sort. But a reporter's job is only to record.
Okay, Michael, let's address that.
Brian speak to that.
Yeah, I can get in on this. I mean, this campaign, the theme right now is really candidate dishonesties, you know, in particular from the Bush side. But, you know, Kerry has done his share of it, too. And to just have people reporting the talking points isn't good enough. The public is just going to be misinformed by that.
Because the information that's coming out is designed to, you know, enable reporters just to convey their message.
Right, exactly. The candidates, you know, the Bush administration, as we argue in the book, has really moved the ball forward in the sophistication with which they spin the press and the public. You know, with misleading statistics, you know, tax cut averages that aren't really averages. All of these things are designed to get into print and create a misleading impression in people's minds in a way that reporters won't contradict.
Mm-hmm.
And they just have to get over that. They just have to deal with the fact that, you know, politics has evolved past the point where objective journalism is going to be able to counter the spin.
Yeah, obviously when people are reporting, you know, car accidents or war reporting, I mean, that's really a different case. But because these people have manipulated the message so much, it's impossible to be impartial. We're going to keep you on for another segment.
Yeah!
Brian Kiefer is going to stay with us. We're going to take more of your calls, 866-303-2270. We'll be right back on Air America Radio. You want to add your 2 cents? Give us a call at 866-303-2270 and give us your best shot.
Urgent news for people who have taken the acne drug Accutane. Accutane was promoted as a safe way to treat severe acne. 100% of Accutane users will experience adverse side effects if you or your child has experienced liver, kidney, or pancreatic damage, inflammatory bowel disease, diabetes, birth defects, musculoskeletal injuries, psychiatric or cardiovascular problems. Call the Accutane Litigation Group at 1-866-422-2843 to see if you may be entitled to compensation. 1-866-4-ACU-HELP. Now.
The best things in life aren't always free, like free radicals that may have harmful effects on your body. That's why there's Nature's Bounty antioxidants like vitamin C and E and CoQ10 to neutralize excess free radicals and help reduce the premature aging of cells.
Now find a dollar off coupon good on any Nature's Bounty product in this Sunday's newspaper. That's a dollar off coupon in your July 25th Sunday newspaper.
The best things in life? They're from Nature's Bounty.
Nature's Bounty, a natural part of life.
Isn't it lovely to be able to listen to the king all day long?
Lovey, you've lost your marbles. We don't have a king. Not anymore. We have a queen.
No. I mean the king of rock and roll, Elvis Presley.
Oh. Here's sport and pop it on for me, would you?
I'm just a hunk of burning love.
Yes, of course.
Direct from the Sirius studios at Graceland.
Elvis has entered the building.
Elvis Radio.
Sirius 13.
All right, your 4 years old son ready for the big leagues. Put your bat on, buddy. There you go, helmet.
Silly head.
Okay, that's right, with thigh guards. Now don't forget your mouth guard. You don't want to be losing teeth in your first game. Well, they're baby teeth, but put it in them.
Daddy.
Don't let them worry you. They may be over 200 pounds and kind of mean looking, but you're ready for them. Just run through them. Here's the ball. Run!
Daddy?
Don't look at me. Run with it. Go, boy. Run!
But I could get hurt.
No pain, no gain. Now run!
You wouldn't treat your child like an adult. So why put them in adult seatbelts? If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat.
You should have sprayed on them.
For more information, go to boosterseat.gov. This message brought to you by the Ad Council and the U.S. Department of Transportation.
If you had invested $50 in a mutual fund 20 years ago, you would have gotten back $452. If you had invested $50 in the United Negro College Fund, you would have gotten back someone like Michael Jordan. So support the United Negro College Fund and let a kid profit from a college education. Please call 1-800-332-UNCF because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service message from the United Negro College Fund and the Ad Council.
Yes. This is it. We're going to land this craft.
Is that what we're getting ready to do?
Yeah, it's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley. Our guest in studio is Brian Kiefer. He is one of the authors of All the President's Spin, George W. Bush, The Media, and The Truth. He's also one of the editors of SpinSanity.com. Let's take another call here. Joe, how are you?
Joe!
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Good morning.
My question was, as everybody knows, the media has been completely fed everything the Bush administration wants, and they do a great job at it. We can agree on that, right?
Yes,
sure.
So at what point does the spin stop being spin and start being a crime?
That's a good question.
Several times, classified information was leaked, and nothing's happened to anybody. And I have absolute faith in the Bush administration that nothing happens by accident there.
Yeah, I agree with you. Thanks for your question, Joe. Let's see if Brian can address that.
Yeah, well, I'm not a legal expert here on this one, but you know, they've got ongoing investigations. Of course, those aren't going to be resolved until about November 5th or 6th.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's hard to know, but yeah, I mean,
it definitely seems like a fixed game, though, in some respects, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's no question that they figured out how to work the media and really game the system to get less critical coverage than they might otherwise get.
You know what's amazing about those investigations, so specifically the Valerie Plame investigation? Colin Powell appeared before that grand jury, and that story lasted one day.
Right.
That was it. There was no follow-up. There was no, like, well, who else may have appeared before the grand jury? Yeah. That's serious stuff when a sitting Secretary of State has to appear before a grand jury.
Right. Isn't that because of bad reporting?
A lot of times the media is really aggressive in pursuit of scandal. I mean, you think of Clinton, of course. And
right.
Like they were chasing after everything. It's really interesting that they haven't really gone after that, and they didn't really go after Bush and the National Guard records during the election in 2000.
Yeah, we were talking about that before. How come they didn't go after the National Guard records? Is it drunk driving? Is it, you know, supposed cocaine abuse?
Right.
I mean, none of that stuff.
And with the National Guard records, we still don't know what happened. I mean, nobody's really run that story to the ground.
Well, Lawrence Korb on our show last week, this week, a few days ago, put two and two and two and two together and did the math on the hours he was there on his paychecks and everything else, and given that the time he spent away, it was actually considered AWOL.
Yeah, he used the A word. But, you know, the other part of this that doesn't seem to make sense to me, how much of the media coverage is based on fear of losing what little access they now have to the Bush administration? Nobody wants to lose access. How does that drive coverage, if at all?
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. Nobody wants to lose access. Nobody wants to be the bad guy. Nobody wants to stand up in the press conference and ask a question that might not... it might get you off the list next time.
Except Al Jazeera, and they've been removed.
Right, yeah. And I mean, there's really a question with this administration with how much this access buys you. And, you know, politicians generally, it's getting to the point where the access you have isn't that much greater than just sitting at home watching on TV.
Yeah, I have no access at all. But I'm happy to be part of Air America. We don't spin anything here. We're just nothing but truth around the clock.
Here, I never knew how to throw that knuckleball curve stuff.
The pure stuff. So quickly, let's talk about, so I guess the one way we can fight spin is to check out your website. Why don't you tell us a little bit about SpinSanity.com?
Yeah,
well, we founded it after the 2000 election. You know, we were sitting there sort of disgusted, in particular with the whole Florida debacle. You know, naive as we were, we thought maybe there was a way to resolve this by counting the votes and figuring out who got more. And, you know, both teams, I mean, in particular, Bush went in and really just spun like crazy, spun very aggressively. It kind of grossed us out. So we founded the website to debunk political spin, and call them as we see them. We're nonpartisan. We've gone after Kerry as often as we've gone after Bush.
Okay. Well, that's great. And also, you got the book, which is All the President's Spin, George W. Bush, The Media, and The Truth. Thanks for joining us, Brian Kiefer. It was nice having
you here.
Thanks for having me.
And I imagine that, I imagine I'll have to finish that thought on Monday. Here's the liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your pencils out. Write these down. One, develop gas electric hybrid sex therapy cyborg. Okay. Two, occupy the dean's office of the Electoral College. Three, sue Halliburton for your parents' failure to support your acting career. Four, follow Kerry campaign to swing states. Fall down in front of him. Let him rescue you. Repeat as necessary.
And five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. Quote, Bush and Kerry were both in Iowa on August 4th, which is the same day Germany declared war on Belgium in 1914. Connect the dots, people. Am I the only one who sees what's going on here? End quote. That's it. I'll be at the Comedy Cellar Friday and Saturday. You're going to be home this
I'm going
weekend?
To be home with my wife and daughter having a ball.
All right, man. I'll have a good weekend.
Have a good weekend, man. And behave yourself. Brian, again, thanks for being with us. And don't be a stranger, man. You're friend of the room now. You came up here this time in the morning.
We're going to call on you.
Yeah, definitely. Coming up on Monday's morning's edition, the return of insurgent hunter Michael Ware. Plus, the infamous Jello Biafra. Waking up early, or maybe even staying up late, just to be with us. That's Monday's morning's edition here on Air America Radio. Have a good weekend, yo.
Bye, Riley.